about.
Well, a big hetero hello to all of you. You buying this? Anybody? Yes? No?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, mean podcast listener. It's like Monday, and you just tweeted out, "Never mind, I'm getting lonely." So I'm calling to see if you fired the beer mug yet.
Captain, how soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me I'm a doctor.
No, I mean, I'm just not sure.
Or can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
Well, this time the Redskins put a spy on Dak Prescott. He starts to come, and then he pulls out.
Say what?
Well, this time the Redskins put a spy on Dak Prescott. He starts to come, and then he pulls out.
And now, our feature presentation.
Our feature presentation.
How old are you, Bean?
That was somewhat troubling.
What? What are you looking at me for? What did I do?
Nothing.
Dak Prescott, come on.
That was Troy Aikman, man. You should be directing your cards and letters to him. I didn't have anything to do with it. I'm just watching TV.
Who still writes cards and letters?
Or whatever, however you communicate with people.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday, the 28th of November.
So? How was everybody's Thanksgiving?
Really good.
It was great. Allie, did you go to that special place you always go?
I did.
Fun?
It was so fun. Such great people, such great food, such special times.
See, it's awesome that you live in a city without family members. Mm-hmm. They're all elsewhere.
That is awesome.
No. Yet you have your own holiday family with these people that you share the holidays with.
I have an on-deck family. Absolutely.
That's wonderful.
It really is. Thanks, Bean.
Yeah. Kevin, how was your Thanksgiving?
You know, thug life.
Oh.
Do you host at your house, Kevin, or were you able to sponge an invitation from somebody else?
No, it's our neighbor, for 15 years. Our neighbor just loves making Thanksgiving dinner and inviting the entire neighborhood.
Why?
Nice. Probably 30 to 40 of us.
Oh, my goodness.
Every Thanksgiving. And she's a great cook.
Nice.
So you never have to cook.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome.
How has yours been?
Well, it was surprising.
Surprising?
Here's what happened.
I would think you're a person that has a lot of rituals, so I would assume you do the same thing every Thanksgiving.
You know, I moved, and I live in a different city without those things. And, you know, you start over, and, you know, it's hard to believe after 3 months that nobody who met me said, I'm going to invite that guy for Thanksgiving. It's hard to believe I didn't have a ton of invitations from people.
It's weird.
So you did the next best thing, which is invite those people to your house.
So we made dinner reservations at a restaurant. I found a place online that had would look like an attractive menu, and I thought, this will be fun. We'll do this. So I made the reservation for 4 o'clock Thursday. Now, my phone rings at 2:15 on Thursday. Donna is already getting dressed. She's in the shower, getting ready for our Thanksgiving meal, putting on a fancy dress and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And the phone rings, and they says, hey, we're calling from the restaurant, and we had a water main break in our kitchen, and we're going to have to cancel all meal service today.
No!
And
wow.
And I said, and it makes no sense whatsoever I said this, but it's just me, my brain thinking out loud, I said,
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
I probably should have said that. What I said was, but it's Thanksgiving. Because it's Thanksgiving, they're going to go, right.
You're
you know
right,
what?
Sir.
We were wrong.
Didn't think about that.
Didn't break. It's back on. So come on down. It all happened so fast. It was such a shock to the system. Then I hung up, and I thought, well, it would have been nice if they would have, offered some other suggestions or something, So
They probably had their hands full at that moment, right?
Yeah.
I know, but a little – I don't know. Am I wrong? A little customer service, it would have been nice if they had an offer. Or if they had said, hey, but we're going to give you a coupon to come back another day or something. That doesn't help you for Thanksgiving. I just felt like they were dropping bad news and then hanging up real fast.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
Did you drive by?
To make sure.
Oh, the place was full.
Kevin.
Everybody was there having Thanksgiving meal.
That is so
singing songs.
Cynical.
So you're suggesting that they just didn't want me there.
Well, I mean, I'm suggesting, did you check? That's
you know
all.
What? I really didn't. I took the
that's word. You should never do that.
Wow. Now I'm going to be thinking about that.
Oh, no. I'm sure there was a... I'm sure it happened.
Oh, they had such a great time that day.
Singing songs.
They're going to tell... Singing those Thanksgiving songs. They're going to tell those stories for years. Remember that year? Remember 2016 Thanksgiving? Woo! What a blowout party that was.
Oh.
And here I was feeling bad for the restaurant because I imagine right. they lost a lot of money that day.
Oh, sure.
If the flood thing was real.
Right.
You know. So what'd you wind up doing?
So then, so I kind of started the process over that I had done
part of his foot
weeks before where I started looking for other restaurants that might have a Thanksgiving deal going. And surprisingly, some of the restaurants that I know and like and have and others that I've been wanting to go to were closed on Thanksgiving. I was surprised by that. So I just start, you know, go on all the websites and stuff and trying to make reservations. And almost every single one of them was obviously already booked up because it was, you know, it was that afternoon.
Right.
So reservations were not to be had. So I ended up finding a reservation at 6:30 at an Irish pub down on St. Charles Avenue, which was fine.
And you got smashed.
I didn't.
But right? Blackout?
I will tell you, there were a lot of people that were drinking. I was surprised on Thanksgiving night that there were a lot of people that were out just maybe they had left their house after an afternoon with their relatives, and they said, I gotta kill this pain.
I have a follow-up.
Yeah.
You went to a pub?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you were surprised that they were drinking?
On Thanksgiving night, I wasn't expecting to see so many people
Yeah, usually
people
they
out drinking.
Skip holidays at pubs.
Was it a pub?
It was. Still a pub.
It was an Irish pub, yeah.
Okay. Irish, too.
I see. Irish pub, okay.
And they were drinking alcohol.
Right?
What?
That's crazy.
A bunch of them. So there I was off in the corner having my little turkey dinner.
Oh, but, was it at least turkey? It wasn't corned beef?
He doesn't know. I mean, honestly.
It was turkey, yeah. It was fine. It wasn't what I was expecting for Thanksgiving, but it was fine. You know, it was a place I hadn't been to before. And
what did Donna do?
She went with me.
Oh, I see. Okay.
She went with me. Or she found another date and went back to the first restaurant.
Right.
When she pulled off the scam about the flooding.
That was all your wife's idea. That's even more sinister.
Who knows? So anyway, so that was my first Thanksgiving in New Orleans. There was a little bit of surprise, a little bit of drama, but it all worked out.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hard pass.
We are going to talk to... I shouldn't even tell you that because that's too good.
That's
probably too good.
We're going to bump it. We're going to figure out a way to bump that.
No, we're not going to bump it. It's the only reason I'm here.
Allie, did you look at the schedule?
In the 8 o'clock hour? I screamed at my computer when I saw it.
We're bumping nothing.
Oh.
Allie, I want you to know I voted no, and I voted no for you in your absentia as
Thank
well.
Thank you.
And we still lost.
Yet it's still right there on schedule.
We won the popular vote, and I thought it would feel better. But it doesn't.
No.
Somehow we still lost the election.
Doesn't help. New Bean makes us guess on the program today. Mm-hmm. We talked to Evelyn last week. Actually, we tweeted back and forth with her, and she's a mother who was driving kids in a car. Can you find the audio for that? And she was doing the Zero Club.
With kids in the car?
Yes. So kids were videotaping.
No.
Yes. And it says distance to empty one.
Uh-huh.
And then they were waiting and waiting. And then when it rolled over to zero, this happened.
Was it a gas station?
What did it say?
Yeah.
Kevin, you did this. You did this.
Zero Club, baby. That's how we roll, motherfucker.
Oh, God.
A car full of children.
Yeah, that seems dangerous.
That's dumb.
Seems like all of you are going to be walking along the side of the highway with a gas can soon.
So we're going to have a few words with Evelyn just to make sure that, you know.
Yeah.
She's not doing what it appears she's doing.
Is this going to be you're going to tell her, do as I say, not as I do?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Basically?
Yeah. I can't help it. I don't know. It's way past an opportunity for me to stop doing the Zero Club. We also have Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network talking about the NFL Week 12. I don't know. Was there any football this weekend?
No. I don't think they play anymore.
See what, Bean?
I said, I don't think they play anymore. I think football's over.
Oh, that's what I thought, too. There was football. Chip, was there football?
There was lots of football.
Yeah, Chip saw some football. I saw football.
I didn't see the Cardinals play.
Yeah, and I think the Seahawks had a bye week.
Did they?
It seemed like it.
Okay.
They played like it.
Chips, Dolphins, six in a row. Come on.
Nice.
Strong. Pats?
Yeah. They squeaked out a win against the Jets.
You know what? Squeaked it out.
Still, something's wrong.
Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do on Mondays, and we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, along with your Bud Light backstage passes. Ooh. So that's coming up this morning in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
It is Monday morning after the long Thanksgiving holiday weekend. We got kind of caught up, but we haven't heard from Ralph Garman yet.
Hey,
Ralph.
Hey!
How was your weekend, man?
Real quick question before we get going.
Yeah.
Kevin, what's the name of the Dallas quarterback for the Cowboys?
Dak Prescott.
Okay, just went double check.
What did I say? Did I say it wrong?
This morning was Zach. It was Zach Prescott.
Zach.
And I was like,
oh, was it?
It's
I mean,
30
really?
Seconds in, back from the holiday. Boom! New moment with. My man's on fire. My man is not playing.
It's not my quarterback.
Zach Prescott. How old are you, Bean? I don't know who Zach Prescott is either. Nuts.
I'm troubled that none of us in this room caught that.
Well, that's what I'm here
because
for.
It doesn't matter because it's the quarterback
for the
safety Cowboys.
Net, man. I'm safety net. I'm here catching all the plates that fall off the top shelf during the earthquake.
In your net?
In my net.
That's right. Okay.
We may be too close to it and we automatically just translate whatever Kevin's saying into English.
It's
maybe that's
possible.
What it is. So,
I
you know
appreciate
how
it.
If you grow up with a neighbor who's got a really strong accent?
Yeah.
You know, they hear from a foreign country or something, but you've lived next to them for generations, and for some reason you can understand perfectly what they're saying, and mm-hmm. your friends are like, "What? What's old man foreigner saying?"
That's your example?
Yeah. I didn't get much sleep.
Great.
So we're in for a good time.
All right.
I got an itch right here.
What's happening? How many people don't get a lot of sleep Thanksgiving weekend? It's 4 days. What'd you do?
Well,
did you go to the same place Bean went?
No.
An Irish pub?
No, I didn't go to O'Malley's surprisingly alcohol-filled pub. There were people drinking at the Irish pub.
I was very surprised by
There's
that.
People drinking at the Irish pub on every day.
Okay.
When they open the doors, people start drinking. When they close them, they're taking drinks away from people who want to keep drinking.
Here's how you know the word pub.
Yeah. And Irish.
And Irish as well, yeah.
Our waitress recently moved to New Orleans from Philadelphia.
What?
And she was delightful.
As all people from Philadelphia are.
Yeah. What?
The city of brotherly love, you know.
Sure.
I've heard that.
It's the home of liberty.
So you had a good holiday
birthplace
weekend.
Birthplace of the nation.
Right. Right.
Just letting you know. I had a great holiday. Family and I went to Las Vegas, Nevada.
What?
Yes.
For Thanksgiving?
For Thanksgiving, yes.
They have Thanksgiving there?
And
Thanksgiving pretty much everywhere.
People were gambling there. I was shocked. On Thanksgiving, people were gambling. I think they would take the day off.
Did you do a fancy hotel buffet?
No. Buffets are for suckers.
Oh.
Right?
Well, I just thought for Thanksgiving.
Stand in line with a bunch of riff and or raff going through trays of warmed over foods. No, we went to some high-end joints. We stayed at the Mirage Hotel and Casino.
Okay.
Because we had the kid with us, and we always like to factor in stuff for her to do mm-hmm. if we take her to Las Vegas. And went there with my dad and my mom. And
nice.
Not my mom at all. My mom died 4 years ago. Went with my dad and my sister. And I was going to say the reason we do it is because since we lost my mom, this particular holiday has become very difficult, especially for my father. To try to recreate those memories for him is very painful. So we try to mix it up and do something different.
Because that was your mom's thing.
That was my mom's holiday for sure, absolutely. So we decided to try to mix things up and make things a little less painful for him especially, and for all of us. So we've been doing different things on Thanksgiving. And this year we decided to go to Vegas. And we had a blast. It was so much fun. It's augmented by the fact that you're not supposed to be in Vegas at that time.
Right.
It's really fun because you're like, everyone else is doing sort of traditional stuff, and you're just not. You're just doing whatever the hell you feel like, and you're goofing off, and you're gambling, and you're drinking, and you're eating in really nice restaurants. And
what's the crowd like there?
It was high.
Because I would think you have a specific reason for doing it, but I would think most people there just have no other option.
It was, no, it was a lot of families.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of families with kids and stuff. So I guess people just needed to get away this year, or I don't know what it's like every year, because it's my first time there.
Sure.
But we had a blast. And so we saw the Dolphins, and we petted the Dolphins.
Nice.
And we saw the White Tigers and Siegfried and Roy's menagerie there at the Mirage, and...
Olivia was playing craps. Come on, Snake Eyes!
My sister did teach her blackjack in the room while she was babysitting, which came as a surprise to my wife
it's
and I.
It's legal, right, though? It's legal?
They weren't gambling. They were just playing. Right. Six.
Yeah, six. Good skill to have.
And actually, I won some money, and we had some great food, and it was just a good time was had by
so everyone comes back tan, rested, and ready, it sounds like.
Well, I'm not rested, no.
Now we're going to be the best radio show of our lives today. Am I right? Who's with me?
I will not be participating in that event. But I think by Wednesday I will have recovered. So
Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat.
Let's take a look at the weekend box office. Even though it was a long weekend, we do on a Monday morning like to take a look at what people went to see in theaters. And it was Moana. No surprise there. People looking for stuff to do with the kids. They took them to the new Disney animated film, which debuted with $81.1 million over the long five-day Thanksgiving weekend. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them were second. Doctor Strange was third. Allied, the new World War II spy film with Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard, came in at number four. Fifth was Arrival. Trolls at number six. Almost Christmas. Bad Santa debuted at just $9 million.
That's surprising.
It is surprising. I think it'll do better in subsequent weekends. I think this was a big kids weekend, so a lot of people want to see Moana. Hacksaw Ridge was ninth, and The Edge of 17 came in at number 10. Sad news over the holiday weekend for those of us who grew up in front of the television watching the Brady Bunch as our extended family. Beloved TV mom Florence Henderson passed away on Thanksgiving.
She's a bitch.
No, she not was not. All.
She's America's mom, goddammit.
Kevin.
Wasn't me.
You son of a bitch. Passed away at the age of 82. She had been hospitalized for heart failure. And by all accounts, she was happy and healthy. Right up until the last few weeks of her life. So at least she was did not suffer with a lingering illness before passing away.
I heard she was in the audience for Dancing with the Stars like last week.
She was. Yep. She was there to support her TV daughter, Marie.
Then I don't understand how she died.
I know you don't, Bean. You don't understand how hearts sometimes stop working. But sometimes you're fine, and then you get sick, and then you pass away.
That's very troubling news.
It's been that way since man has been alive.
No, I don't like it.
So we should have gotten used to it by now. Most people, of course, know her as her famous role of Carol Brady, TV mom. But she was also a celebrated Broadway actress. She was Tony nominated. She had been on television a bunch of times before she ever got to the Brady Bunch. She was a correspondent on the Today Show. She was also the first woman to ever guest host the Tonight Show.
Is that right?
Really?
In 1969. So she had a long, famous history with television, and it's a shame that she passed away. Also passing away was actor Ron Glass, who was terrific in Firefly, one of my favorite series, passed away. Played Shepherd Book on that show. He was also Ron Harris on Barney Miller, a great TV sitcom. Sanford Son, Hawaii Five-O, All in the Family, had a very successful television career. Nominated for a Primetime Emmy in 1982 for his work on Barney Miller. Passed away at the age of 71. So it was a good holiday for some of us, and other people died, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Randy Newman is 73 years old today. Guy who gave us all the great music in Toy Story and so much more. Ed Harris, very talented actor, is 66. TV show host Jon Stewart is 54. Trey Songz is 32. Mary Elizabeth Winstead turns 32 as well. And actress Karen Gillan. You know her as the companion from Doctor Who. And also from Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz.
The sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016 shows are fast approaching December 10th and 11th at the Forum. And as Kevin mentioned a little while ago, we're not only giving away tickets to the show, but also tickets to the Bud Light backstage party as well. So next hour, your chance to win that. Coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
Tell me about the national anthem fail. I love these.
I don't know. Is it a fail, Allie? Would you call it a fail? It was certainly unusual.
I don't think it was a fail. It was just a whole That's what I did watching it.
Here's what you need to know. I'm so glad that you didn't see or read about this over the holiday
weekend. I did not.
But Aretha Franklin, the legend herself, the queen of soul, who's got to be – she's got to be close to 75, I would imagine. But she still has a great voice, and she is a legend in the city of Detroit. And she was out in front of the Lions-Vikings game at Ford Field on Thanksgiving Day. Lions are one of the teams, along with the Cowboys, who always play on Thanksgiving. And they invited her, and she's out there in one of her big-ass fur coats because Aretha didn't go anywhere without a big-ass fur coat, wearing a Lions beanie, and she sings the national anthem. Now, look, most of the time the national anthem – every once in a while the national anthem is great. It blows, you're blown away by how brilliant the performance is.
Right.
Most of the time, the vast majority of the time, it's just something you just want to fast forward through and just can't wait for it to be over because it's kind of boring. And every once in a while there's a terrible national anthem where somebody's horrible. And that's always fun.
That's the best.
That's the best. Aretha Franklin is none of those things, Kevin. She's a completely different kind of national anthem. Let's see if you can figure out why.
Ladies and gentlemen – to honor America, Miss Aretha Franklin.
Now, by now, usually somebody started singing. Aretha's at the piano.
Yeah, she's playing the piano, too. She's
thinking about it, and now she's going to start. All right, now we're off and running. Not sure I recognize this, but... quite an intro.
Interesting.
And maybe at some point she'll sing.
She should stand up and walk out right there. I'm in.
Can you see?
I mean, she's still got a great voice, right? She still sounds great.
Yeah.
I'm in.
I mean, she's taking you to church on this, right?
And the twilight
Kevin, what's the you're a guy who bets on a lot of things when it comes to sporting events. What's the usual number on the over-under? And by the way, I have no qualms about talking over this because it's going to go on until almost 10 a.m.
Okay.
When you place that bet, isn't it usually like 215
it's
or
about
220?
It's about 220, yeah.
About 220, right.
Not that I would know because I don't bet on that. But
right.
About 220.
We are now, by the way, at 2 minutes since the words, ladies and gentlemen, Aretha Franklin.
Wow.
We're 2 minutes now.
So she's over. Can you take a breath in the middle of a word?
I don't feel you should.
A pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates, by the way, was watching the game and tweeted, "Thankful Aretha Franklin doesn't sing the anthem when I pitch. Pretty sure I'd have to go back to the pen and warm back up." That was from Jameson Talion. A Twitter user named B. Miller. "I cooked my whole turkey, ate, and did the dishes during Aretha Franklin's national anthem performance." Victor writes, "Mom, can you go to the store and buy some milk?" "Me, I can't. The game is about to start." "Aretha, I got you, fam."
This is unbelievable.
It's still going on, Kevin. At one point, by the way, in the first quarter, CBS had the game, and they put up the time of possession, and it was like, you know, Lions 8 minutes, Vikings 5 minutes, Aretha Franklin 5.5, or something like that. They gave her full credit. And by the way, the audience, I mean, you'd expect, like, for almost anyone else, they'd start booing and stuff, but it was very reverent. I mean, they, of course, they love Aretha Franklin in Detroit.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a local
hero,
legend,
right?
But they totally went with it. All right, big finish, you guys.
Over the land. It is the land of the free.
lot of free, a lot of land of the free there.
Sure.
I mean, does she get to, because she's Aretha Franklin, does she get to spend as much time as she wants, or is it still like, hey, how about the rest of us? We've got a game to play.
I think,
what do you think,
Aretha
Alex?
Franklin in Detroit, she gets that time.
She gets that time. However, one of my favorite tweets was, I'm going to tell all your grandchildren about the time you complained about seeing Aretha Franklin instead of the Detroit Lions. Which is a great point. You're going to watch the Lions. Calm down. Oh, here she goes.
What? I don't know this part.
She does not want to leave the stage, man. Look, I drove all the way down here. I'm not getting in the car and going back home. Oh, is she done?
The fans are like, yes, now we can finally watch some football.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. The great Aretha Franklin doing the national anthem like you've never heard it before. Look, I love those guys in No Doubt, and I love Davey Havoc, too. But what's the dumb name they come up with for what should be called Bro Doubt that's coming out with new music next year?
I think it's Dream Car.
No, right? No.
I believe the title of the band is Dream Car.
Dream Car.
I think so.
That can't be the name they're going with.
No. I mean, they're not saying it's a placeholder. They're saying that's the name.
Dream Car.
Dream Car.
No, please. Yeah. Hey, it's Monday morning. Thanks so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. We always look forward to catching up with our friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey, how are you, sir?
I'm good, guys. Good morning.
How was your holiday weekend? Or once again, do you really technically never get a day off because of your job?
A ladder.
Were you in the office, Harvey?
Yeah.
By yourself?
There were a couple of people.
Just gnawing on turkey leg.
Well,
that really sounds desperate.
Yep. It does. Just sitting alone.
Just drinking out of the bottle.
Just drinking out of the bottle.
Just sitting in the corner of the room.
Well, listen, you got something up here that I think is interesting. We have all been speculating so much over the past week and a half, since Kanye West went to the hospital, and we don't know what to make of it. And you seem to have some inside connections with the Kardashian and West clan. What can you tell us? What's the latest on Kanye?
I mean, this is not great. It's not good at all. When he was picked up a week ago today, everybody, the doctor said it was dehydration and exhaustion. It's way more than that.
And let me pause you right there, because if I remember correctly, his personal physician is the one who called 911 to have them come take him to the hospital, right?
Yeah. I mean, what happened was he was at his trainer's, Harley Pasternak, Kanye was, and he just went off the rails. Pasternak apparently is the one who called the doctor. The doctor came over to the house and realized it was pretty bad and then called 911. And they literally, the police and fire and the doctor, tried talking to Kanye for almost an hour and a half before they finally said, look, you've got to go to the hospital. And he agreed. But it's bad. I mean, he has been dealing with issues for months and months and months.
Oh, years. And,
some would say years.
Yeah, since his mom's death, I don't think he's ever gotten help for all of that.
Yeah, I think, honestly, it's a little more complicated than that. I only want to say so much, but look, he has been paranoid in the hospital. He's been afraid people have been out to get him, wouldn't let the doctors touch him. He is a wreck, and it's just a mental breakdown, and so he's still there, and the doctors are hoping that they might release him as early as today under the care of his doctor and Kim, but it has been rough going.
Hmm. Harvey, when this story first broke and he went to the hospital, I assumed, like everybody else did, that maybe he had a mental breakdown or something, but then they started bringing out that story about the insurance and how he still gets paid for those shows.
We did that story.
Right. And even if he doesn't perform, he still gets paid by the insurance company as long as a certain number of things are met. And one of those is a physical problem that he went to the hospital for. So I thought, wow, he's pretty sharp. That's a smart guy.
I think I talked to you guys about that last week, and I get it. But
that's not the case.
It's not the case. Mm. I mean, yes, there is an insurance policy, and yes, they're making a claim, but these insurance policies are common where people do concerts, because for all sorts of reasons, the show may not go on and may have to do just with losing your voice, all sorts of issues. Right. So the policies are common. The timing was interesting here, because they did file it very shortly, within, I think, 6 hours after he was picked up. But there's nothing untoward about it.
What's going on with her, with him and his wife? Because I got the impression at one point that Kim was angry at him because of that tirade on stage in Sacramento and had left or something, and now she's back with him. I mean, are they helping each other?
Well, that's the other thing we know, which is she has been a wreck since the robbery. It really has, it's just shaken her.
Understandably.
To her core, yeah. But she put everything on hold. She has literally lived at that hospital for a week by his side. She is just, honestly, I mean, what everybody is saying, she's just a completely devoted spouse. And he's lucky that, she's being as strong as she is and being there for him when she's dealing with her own stuff. But
yeah,
she really is. I mean,
no,
you got to hand it to her. She's really stepped up.
And look, I know a lot of people don't love this family, but I mean, it's so tragic.
Really
that
sad.
It is very sad. This is going on, and I just keep thinking about what Chloe went through with Lamar Odom, where she basically had to live at a hospital for weeks and weeks and weeks because of everything that he was going through. I mean, this family's had a rough patch.
They have had a rough patch. They've had a. When you think about it, you don't have to chronicle everything, but it has been a rough road for them for 5 years. And, when you look at what happened at Thanksgiving, the Jenners were pretty much intact, and they all had Thanksgiving together. The Kardashians didn't. Mm. They were all kind of dispersed everywhere, and, it's funny. We put a poll up on the website, I wish I were a Kardashian, and I think 82% of the people said no. And a year ago, it would have been 50%.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, I'll tell you, obviously, we hope the best for the family, and we hope hope that Kanye figures out what's going on. I mean, it may be counseling, it may be medicine, it may be a combination of both. But I mean, I hope he's not broken. I hope he comes back from this.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody does, and it's just been really, really rough this week.
All right, well, we'll keep tabs on what's next in this developing story at TMZ.com. Look for the TMZ show throughout the day on Fox Channel 11, TMZ Live at 4, same channel, TMZ Sports, Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And don't forget, get your tickets for the TMZ tour. Might be a fun Christmas gift for somebody this holiday season.
What a good idea.
You can buy those at TMZ.com. Harvey, have a great week, sir. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, guys, we'll see you.
I don't know why you're casting doubt on their story. It sounds very reasonable to me.
What are you talking about?
About the Thanksgiving thing. You got me thinking about this because you brought up earlier today that they might have been faking it.
Bean said that he was going to go to a restaurant for Thanksgiving meal on Thanksgiving Day and that they called him.
Like 2 hours before the reservation.
First of all, what restaurant calls every person that's supposed to show up?
Well, here's what happened for folks who weren't with us earlier. So I'm in New Orleans and decided, hey, Thanksgiving, I have no friends. Let's go have a meal. So I did the research on it, and I found a place called Josephine Estelle, which apparently is a very well-regarded restaurant inside the Ace Hotel here in New Orleans.
Right.
And I love the look of their menu. They had an arugula and frisée salad. Don't know what that is. Sounds great. Mama's ravioli is part of the Thanksgiving feast.
Sure.
Roast
like
turkey
ravioli
breast.
Is.
Right. Roast turkey breast and confit leg. What's a confit leg, Allie?
Don't know.
I don't know what that is.
It's stuff.
Sweet potato
it's
mash,
stuff.
Pecans,
yep.
Cornbread dressing. I mean, everything. And then a pumpkin cheesecake
for
dessert.
Oh, a pumpkin cheesecake.
And I said, I wouldn't know because here's what happened. So I make the reservation for my wife and myself at 4 p.m. Thanksgiving at 2:15 while Donna is already getting dressed to go. The restaurant calls and they says, well, we're calling from the restaurant. We got a water main break and we're having to cancel all meal service for today. So bye-bye. And then they hang up.
Wow.
That's it. And there weren't a lot of details, but I assume they had 100 people to call. So it kind of makes sense that they weren't chatty on the phone. But I accepted them at their word that why would they give up all that revenue of people eating at the restaurant? Why would they make up a story about a water main break?
Here's my thing. Why don't we call them and find out how it's going?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think
because
I won't bother.
Well, wait a minute. Don't they sort of owe you a reservation?
I mean, it would have been nice if they would have said, sorry for the inconvenience. Here's a coupon for a later date or something.
Well, let's give
them
a chance. Let's find out exactly what happened and if they were able to open it at all that night, the weekend.
All right. Let's give them a call then. I mean, I was really looking forward to it. It sounded great.
Right.
They're on Carondelet Street, the Ace Hotel.
Josephine Estelle, may I help you?
Hi, Kevin and Bean Show calling, K-Rock Los Angeles. We're on the air. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
We are good.
We're fine. This is maybe an odd question, but this is a follow-up about Thanksgiving. I had reservations at your restaurant on Thursday.
Yeah, and we sure did have a good time, did we not?
Oh.
Well, no, because I got a call about an hour and 45 minutes before my seating time to tell me that there was a flood, that there was a water main break in the restaurant.
What, did the levees break again?
No, water main. There was a water main break.
Okay, was this some sort of joke phone call? Your radio boys?
No, this was somebody who said they were...
This is this comedy segment for you.
No. This
was... Let's call a restaurant and say there was a flood. Hey, do you have Prince Albert in a can? You better let him out. Hey, is your refrigerator running? You better catch it.
No, sir, this was somebody who called and identified himself as being from your restaurant, Josephine Estelle, telling me that there was a flood and that Thanksgiving meal service had been canceled.
Well, I know you didn't have to get called from me because we had a packed house on Thanksgiving... Hold on a second. Is anybody call this guy about the flood? Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, the flood was so bad here.
You just a second ago, you just said you were packed.
I forgot.
What do you mean you forgot? You were either open or
we were closed on Thanksgiving.
But you just said you had a great time.
I meant I wished we had a great time.
That's not at all what you said, though.
I did. I said it was, we had a horrible flood.
So essentially, you heard about Bean, and you called him and canceled.
No, we would never do that, my general manager says to me.
Well, it sounds like that's exactly what happened.
No, it was, the floods came, and we had to get two of each kind of animal.
Nope.
Put them in the walk-in fridge.
Okay, so
them. It was high up to the knees, the waist of my knees.
What?
And it was sure terrible. And you're making this up. Lucky you weren't here.
Really?
You would have probably died.
Okay,
drowning.
I don't think I would have drowned in knee-high water. But
you would have if you fell and said, can't get up in the water.
You're a horrible liar, sir.
It was a nightmare. It was really a problem for everyone. And
well, then how come you didn't know about
it? By the way, don't ever come here because probably have mold now.
Wait, hold on. It's not fixed?
How do you come back from something like that?
Well, I mean... First of all, it sounded like you had
emotionally, we'll never be right again. So we carry the thoughts and scars with us forever in our hearts.
So this is your way of saying I am not just me. I am not welcome at your restaurant.
It is not. We like you.
Uh huh.
It's great.
Can I make a reservation for dinner tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night we're planning on a fire.
What? What do you mean you're planning on a fire?
We'll probably have a fire tomorrow night, I'm thinking.
Why do you think that?
We have bad luck in this restaurant.
Is there anything available
tell your wife that the check cleared, by the way.
What? Hey, wait, what?
Tell your wife the check cleared.
I thought that's what you said, but that doesn't make any sense.
Oh. Maybe you should talk to her about it.
Okay. All right.
About her not wanting to eat with you.
Oh.
In a place.
I see.
That... Like this.
Right. How about...
Well, that is so unlucky.
How about Wednesday? Do you have anything for Wednesday there at the restaurant?
Locust.
Oh, locust.
Really?
Yes.
How about Christmas Eve? Let's look forward.
Earthquake.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm very flexible with the hours. How about any time this month?
I can tell because you ordered dinner for Thanksgiving at 4 o'clock. Like you live in a home for old people who eat pudding with sweaters on in the sunroom.
I'd like to get home before the evening news.
Who eats dinner at 4 o'clock?
All right, how about any time in December?
No, seriously, who orders dinner at 4 o'clock, makes a 4 o'clock reservation for dinner?
It's a good question.
That's your lunch. That's not even dinner.
Okay, I thought I was the customer here.
Yeah, but we got enough customers.
All right,
we don't need you so much.
All right, well, happy holidays to you then.
All right, gumbo, etouffee, crawfish.
Now you're just saying words.
I am.
Okay, good. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Monday morning, Ralph is here. Time for yet another look at the show biz beat here on the Kevin Bean Show. What's going on? What's new? What's happening?
It's traditional on a Monday morning. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to
try to see what people went to see in theaters over the long five-day Thanksgiving weekend. Moana was number one with $81.1 million. Wow. The Rock really is the sexiest man alive.
Pretty much.
Even
he can
animated,
do no wrong.
Even animated is sexy, right? Hot was he in Moana.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't see Moana,
all those
but
tattoos. Ugh. That you're, grass skirt.
You're talking about a cartoon.
Wish I had a lawnmower. That's all I'm saying. Oh, my God. When I looked at that grass skirt, that's all I can think about. No, I'm sorry.
What's happening with you today?
When did you get back from Vegas, Ralph?
What time is it? Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. $66 million made him number two. Doctor Strange was third. Allied in its debut, $18 million. Came in at number four. Then Arrival at five. Trolls at number six. Almost Christmas. Bad Santa 2 debuted with $9 million. That made it number eight at the box office. Hacksaw Ridge and The Edge of 17, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office.
Kevin, you see The Bad Santa 2?
I did not.
Oh.
I saw... I'm trying to figure the name of it. Strange Beasts and Where to Find Them. I saw that one again. Because my daughter came home and she wanted to see it. So I was like, yeah, I'll go with you.
Would you say it was strange
fantastic.
Or was it more fantastic?
Fantastic. Yeah, thank you.
Did you remember any of it?
You know, it's funny. It's funny you would say that, Ralph, because...
Is it funny? Or is it sad?
Because...
Whatever the story is going to be.
Because I got a lot more out of it the second time.
Hmm.
Yeah, the second time, I was like, oh, I see what they're doing. Oh, I see what's happening here.
Speaking English.
Right.
I didn't miss the subtitles at all.
How many days in between the first and second viewing?
I mean, you know, four or five.
Okay.
So, so that's good.
Some people need...
Right?
Occasionally.
Never mind.
It was better the second time.
You got more. You understood more.
I did, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So reapply as needed,
yes.
I guess, would be the directions on this film for you.
So what am I going to be seeing next weekend? Fantastic.
You're going to, in a month or two, you're going to know that.
Right?
You're going to understand it.
I'm going to know what happens.
You're going to follow it.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be a happy day. Well, we were talking about what we all did over the Thanksgiving weekend, and I can tell you, some celebrities, as if they weren't already famous and rich and attractive and talented, they make you kind of feel bad about yourself when you hear their stories. For example, Liev Schreiber, one of my favorites, of course, Ray Donovan, he is not raising any Hollywood brats in his family. New York Post, page 6, had a great story about Liev and his two boys at the Bowery Mission in Manhattan on Thanksgiving Day. That's what he did with his family. He brought his two boys along to the mission, and they chatted with the homeless there and took selfies and served turkey and stuffing for the day. That's the way they spent their Thanksgiving.
I love him.
What are the homeless taking selfies on? They have cell phones?
Some of them do, yes. There are some people who live in the streets who have phones.
Bean's attempt to poo-poo anything good.
No, I was just curious. I guess I was a little bit surprised by that.
You know, they live on the street, not in 1950.
Right.
It's not a time warp where they don't have technology.
I was just wondering if I was a homeless person, if that's how I would use my money, is having a cell phone, or if I would use it for something else. That's all. Just trying to put myself in the situation.
Are you?
You are adorable.
So you would like to judge the homeless
valets. I'm not judging.
How they
I was
use
just
their
surprised.
Money and what they carry in their
I
pockets.
I was only surprised. That's all.
Think
I'm
it's
happy
4G?
For them. I hope it's. I hope
probably
they got a good
not. Probably
a
not
good
the
deal.
LTE network. They probably have a flip phone, I'm guessing.
I just think you're terrific.
And then Madonna spent her Thanksgiving with the homeless LGBT youth in New York. She was at the Ollie Forney Center in Brooklyn, which cares for more than 1,200 young people who have been thrown out of their homes because of their sexual orientation.
Wow.
So Madonna posted a photo of herself with some of those kids and captioned it, because everyone deserves to be loved and everyone deserves a home. She spent the day hanging out with them and really apparently getting to know some of them. So that was very kind of her to do on Thanksgiving as well.
Wow.
Is it okay if they have phones, Bean? Being
perfect
all,
girl.
Being all gay and all? Is
sure.
that okay?
Sure.
All right. Glad to hear it.
I think anybody can have a phone. I'm not saying don't give homeless people phones.
That is bold.
Bean's America,
bold statement.
Everyone will be able to carry a phone.
You can get a phone.
That's why I voted Bean.
Can you imagine?
Can you?
Oh.
You thought things could get any worse, right?
he'd be proclaiming 1/12, 2/12, 3/12.
Think how many national holidays we'd have.
Christmas.
Oh, but imagine the savings police. Daytime savings police, can you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
The jackbooted thugs who burst into your home if you had an S to something.
Jail you.
Oh, it would be punishable by jail time if you used it correctly. Absolutely.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Sad news over the holiday weekend again. We lost some of our most beloved celebrities, like Florence Henderson. Mrs. Brady herself passed away on Thanksgiving Day, surrounded by her family and friends at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. She was 82 years old. Reportedly passed away from heart failure, which was sad. Ron Glass, very talented actor, who was best known for his work on the sitcom Barney Miller back in the day, but also as Shepherd Book in Firefly. He was terrific. He passed away over the weekend at 71. And this was sad news. This was a guy we actually met. I don't know if you guys remember or not, but he was Elvis Presley's right-hand man. His closest pal, Joe Esposito, passed away over the weekend.
Wow.
Yeah. He was quite a guy. We met him when we did our show at the Wynn Hotel in Vegas. I think he had just had a book out about his relationship with Elvis, and he came by and told us stories about his relationship as the road manager with the King.
Was he one like of the people that I accosted?
No,
broadcast.
No, that was a lawyer we had on who talked
for
about
the mob or something.
That's right.
He was a defense lawyer.
Right.
You yelled at him.
Yeah,
because you thought better that innocent people spend life in jail than one guilty man going free. You yelled at him.
I may have had a drink.
No, better for 100 or innocent 11. People be in jail than one guilty person be free.
It's been a long time since we've had a show where Kevin drinks. I think we need to do that more often.
I think so, too.
That was a particularly wild one.
No, luckily we talked to Joe Esposito earlier on in the morning. And he told us some amazing stories.
Was it Robert Kirkman? That was a different show.
Oh, God. Joe told us amazing stories about his life with Elvis. This is a fascinating story. They became pals when they were stationed in West Germany together in the army back in the late 50s. That's where they met, when Elvis Presley famously went into the army, and they became fast friends, and Elvis hired Joe as his road manager.
I think he was his closest friend his whole life.
Yeah. I guess him and Red West, I guess, was the other guy of the came to be known as the Memphis Mafia, in terms of people who were actually in Elvis's inner circle. And I thought this was very cool. When Elvis passed away in 1977, his will called for Joe to remain on the payroll for the rest of his life.
That's pretty cool.
Joe got a check every 2 weeks for the last 39 years because how much Elvis appreciated his dedication and friendship.
So, I think it's stupid.
Well, wow, Rodney.
You're wrong, Rodney.
Take it easy. It seems nice.
He was 78 years old, so our sympathies to go out to his family. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Randy Newman, 73 years old today, better known probably as a songwriter. He did work for Toy Story. He did all those great songs and a lot of other movie tunes. I Love L.A., sure.
Wasn't he nominated, Ralph, for like 20 Oscars before he finally won one for his movie work?
I mean, he did scores, full scores for films, wrote songs for films, did all the music in The Three Amigos, which is some of my favorite work. But happy birthday, Randy Newman. Judd Nelson, the actor, is 57 years old today. Ed Harris is 66. John Stewart turns 54. Apple Diap.
I'm sorry, what?
Apple Diap.
That is a thing? That is what?
Black Eyed Peas. Apple Diap.
Really?
Wait. Apple Diap.
So there's Fergie.
Right.
And there's...
Grumpy.
There's Tattoo. There's Fergie. There's Tattoo.
Right.
There's...
Will.i.am.
It's Taboo.
Will.i.am. And then is this the fourth one?
Yeah, he's the Filipino guy. Right?
What's his name?
Apple Diap.
Okay.
Dave's telling me it's Taboo, not Tattoo. Sorry, by the way, just for the record,
I thought I said that.
Hey, let's get this party started, boss.
Don't get much call for that one.
What are you going to do with these lovely lady lumps, boss?
Quiet, Tattoo.
See, would have been a better man with Tattoo in it.
42 years old today. Trey Songz is 32. Mary Elizabeth Winstead turns 32 as well. And the lovely, the talented, the Scottish Karen Gillan celebrates her 29th birthday today. Loved her in Doctor Who and Guardians of the Galaxy. She'll be back, I would think, for Guardians 2. So looking forward to seeing more of her all blue and bald and whatnot. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jake and Ralph, we'll take your phone calls now. It's Kevin and Bean's What's Good. You have something you want to add to the show. You have questions. You have comments. You have recommendations. Anything that you want to talk about, it's 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:09.
hold on a second.
How about a heads up when the song's going to end, Chip? Eating.
Okay.
All right, thank you. I had a mouthful of banana going on there.
It's not banana.
I knew that was a mistake when the words left my mouth. I never should have put that image in anyone's mind. Hey, you're listening to the Kevin Beach Show. It is Monday morning. The phones are wide open for you right now at 1-800-520-1067. This is a little feature that my friend Steve and I like to call What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. On your mind, your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good? After 4 days off, the long holiday weekend since the last Kevin and Bean Show, I know there's a lot of stuff that we missed that we have not talked about yet. So why don't we start with Stephen? He's in Whittier Line 1 to get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Stephen.
Yo, what's good?
What's good?
What is good?
You guys?
Yeah,
we're here. Can you hear us?
Yeah, hey, the holiday hole.
Right.
That is my nickname.
The holiday hole?
Besides Ali's stage name, It is Cards Against Humanity. They decided just to dig a hole.
Right.
And that's it.
I don't understand.
I will explain.
Please.
I will explain.
So not that Steven's not bringing it to life.
Yeah, but Cards Against Humanity did a thing last year where they asked people to mail them $20 for no reason, and lots of people did. So this year they thought, hey, what are we going to do for the Thanksgiving weekend this year? Let's tell people to send us money, and we're going to dig a huge hole in the middle of nowhere. Actually, we don't know if it's in the middle of nowhere. They don't reveal where it is, but they live-streamed this construction site, basically. And as long as the money kept coming in, they were going to pay for the construction work to be done to dig this hole deeper and deeper and bigger and bigger. It got all the way down to the point where it hit slate. I mean, it's an enormous hole.
What the hell is going on?
And they raised over $100,000.
For what?
To dig that hole for no reason. It's not for them to build anything. It literally is just pointless. And that's what people donated to because they wanted to continue to see how long and how far this thing was going to dig.
Maybe raise money for flint and water, something like that. Why a hole?
A lot of people suggested that. Believe me, there was a lot of blowback for Cards Against Humanity deciding this is how they wanted to spend people's money. But, I mean, they looked at it as, hey, it was voluntary. If people want to donate their money to something else, they can. But this is what they chose.
Huh.
So it's pretty dumb, though, right, Stephen? Huh.
Yeah, that's my America.
All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's try. Do we dare talk to Patrick on line 5? That looks kind of sketchy. I'm interested to hear about it, though. What do you think?
Sure.
All right. Let's try it.
Let's try Patrick. Hey, Patrick.
Hey. What's going on, guys? Holidays to you, man.
You as well, sir.
All right. So I think the big hype right now, you know, that back in the day, which is no longer correct, were the bum fights. We felt all bad about that. But I think the last politically correct things for the last first 4 years in a row now are Black Friday fights.
Black Friday fights.
People shopping that are fighting with each other over items.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, like the guy that got killed over a parking space at one mall. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little more than I like to. I mean, I don't wish death upon anybody, but I was just watching people ripping stuff out of people's hands, and then you know, every now and then there is a good left, right, left or something.
Hey, Patrick, I don't know if you saw it. It was making the rounds on Friday, but it was Canada's version of Black Friday.
That was the best.
Where literally they open the door and people walk in single file, and the people at whatever store it was
the Best Buy.
They were clapping. As the people walked in, just strolling through, not running, it was the most Canadian thing I've ever seen. It was amazing.
Yeah, you wouldn't like it, Patrick, because you
wouldn't like it at all.
On YouTube.
A lesson for us all to be learned from our brother up north. They got class. We got class, too. It's just when we got our sights on something, you know, USA, USA, we'll rip it from your cold pride. Old dead hand.
What that guy said.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Thank you for the call.
Patrick. Thank you. Speaking of
we
USA.
Lost him halfway through, right?
Yeah. Speaking of USA, USA, let's. I know this is a troubling topic, but let's go to Dean in Lancaster on line 4 because I do want to get his take on this because I am just amazed at what I'm seeing coming out of my TV these days. Dean, welcome to the show. What's good, my friend?
I think it's good that they're going to be doing some recounts in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan.
Oh, this is still election talk?
Yeah, it is, because I'm really happy, actually, that this is coming to the forefront, because election fraud has been an issue for a very long time.
Wrong.
It hasn't been covered.
Do we know that election fraud has been an issue, or is it just something that people say when the election turns out not the way they hoped it would be?
There is actual data and evidence to show that it's happening.
I feel like there's always been election fraud, but it's never been to the level that could really influence anything.
Look, the last thing that I saw leading up to the election, there was that independent group that had done 25 years of election research or something, and they had come up with, I think, 32 individual cases of voter fraud. That was all they ever found.
Well,
Lots of people throw around a lot of other things. I mean, Donald Trump himself came out and said that millions of illegal immigrants voted in this election. He said that based on no evidence whatsoever that that's the case.
You're confusing voter fraud with election fraud.
Oh, okay.
We're not talking about people voting illegally. We're talking about people illegally getting stripped from the voter rolls and then the vote counts themselves being manipulated electronically.
All right. Where does this take? What's the end game of this? Do I have a different president or are we still the same?
Possibly.
Okay. All right.
No one involved, from Jill Stein, who raised the money for these recounts, to Hillary Clinton, who said, all right, I'll cooperate, to even Donald Trump, no one is suggesting that the president is going to change. No one believes that that's going to happen. But some people are saying, just like you would proofread a book before you put it out there, maybe it's not a bad idea to go back and double check just to make sure that the numbers were right. Because why not? Why not feel like that you can be confident in the integrity of the system? I don't have any problem with them doing a recount.
Yeah, it can do nothing but benefit our system. But I think it's going to reveal a problem that's existed for a long time. And there are people who have been dedicated themselves to following this beat since the 2000 election.
All right. Well, we're out of time, Dean. I'm glad you called about that. I mean, I do think it's important. I know so many of us are so tired of this election cycle that we just want it to be over. You know what I mean? So it's hard for people to get excited about anyone counting any more votes. We all remember what it was like in 2000 with the stupid hanging chads and everything. It just seemed like it would never, ever end. But we'll see what happens. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. All right. What's good? I think we're out of time for those calls, but Kevin, we're going to clear the lines and open them up again. Why?
We are going to give away tickets to K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas, along with Bud Light backstage passes. You have to be 21 or over to win these tickets. So you call now, 1-800-520-1067. You'll play a game or you have to identify a song.
We are looking for, can I say?
Sure.
If you're a big Blink 182 fan, it will be to your benefit to call right now. If you want to go see Blink 182 as part of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, we are taking your calls right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game next on K-Rock.
Our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us to talk the weekend's football in minutes. First, though, let's take care of some business here. A week from Saturday, the sold-out night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016 is going to feature Kings of Leon, Jimmy Eat World, AFI, Ex-Ambassadors, Group Love, Strumbellas, M83, and a little band we like to call Blink 182. We got a phone rack full of Blink fans. Kevin, what are we doing here?
We are going to play
Just a Second.
Mm. Oh. So do you want the theme song?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Just a Second.
And how's this game go?
We're going to play just the first second of a Blink song. All you have to do is identify it.
Well, that sounds pretty easy if you're a fan of the band, right?
We will play it for you twice as well.
Okay.
So make sure you hear it. All right, let's start with Matt in Whittier. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready?
Yeah, I hope I am.
Here you go. One more time.
That is...
We do need a guest, Matt.
That's the name of that song is...
That is All the Small Things.
It is All the Small Things.
Wow. Who would have put their money on him?
Nope. I did not see Matt coming up with that. Sound like he had just quit on us.
Hold on, please. Let's go to Peter in Commerce. Hi there.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready for
Just a Second?
I think so. Let's try.
Here's your song. One more time.
What's My Age Again?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. All right, two for two. That's great Blink fans here.
All right, you hold on. Let's go to Casey in North Hollywood. Hi, Casey.
Hi,
Hi.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you.
Are you ready for your song?
I think so.
Here's the first second of this song. You have to identify it. One more.
Is it Adam's song?
It is Adam's song. Nicely done.
Not that anyone asked or cared, but that's my favorite Blink 182.
Yeah,
song.
No one did ask or care.
Okay. Fair enough.
Janelle in Anaheim, hi.
Hello.
Hi. Are you ready for your song?
I hope so.
Okay, here you go. One more time.
Shoot. Bored to death.
Who thought?
What's happening?
Who thought she was going to get that one?
Did we email the answers to all the listeners ahead of time? This is amazing.
Wow.
All in the drawing to win the tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Acoustic Christmas Night number one. 4 for 4 so far.
I mean, we're not amazed that Blink songs got them, but these particular Blink fans didn't seem to even have a clue.
No.
And then out of the blue.
Yeah, no light bulbs going off over their heads when they hear them, that's for sure.
All right, David in Orange, hi.
What's up?
Are you ready for
just a second?
What'd you say?
Hey, Bing, what's your favorite Blink 182 song?
Thank you for asking. Aww. It's Adam's song.
That is
I love
very
that song
sweet,
so
David.
Much. Very kind. You're my new best friend.
All right. That's sad. Here's your song. You get it twice. Ready? One more time.
Come on, my new best friend, David.
What's that?
Lost Without You?
Oh. Sorry, it's I Miss You.
Oh. I Miss You.
Yeah.
And we're going to miss you at the show that night because you're not going.
Hey, so much for Bean's best friend, huh? Let's go to Will in Norwalk. Hi.
Yo.
Yo, you ready?
Yeah, you guys played all the ones I know, but go for it.
Okay. Hopefully you'll know this one too. One more time.
I'm going to say Carousel. Mm.
Sorry, that's the rock show.
Song right there.
All right, let's go to Al in Riverside. Hi, Al.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. You ready for your song?
Sure, let's do this.
Here you go. One more time.
I should know this song.
You should totally
you
know
really
this song.
Should.
I mean, really, of all the songs, you should know this one.
I feel like K-Rock has played this one a few times over the years.
A couple.
Damn it.
Yes!
Yes!
Wouldn't it be funny if he was just mad that he couldn't get it? He's just angry that he couldn't get it, so he's cursing.
All right, Al's in the drawing. So, do we go out on a high like that, or do we risk it and do one more?
I
believe in Shalina.
You
yes.
do? Really? You want to do one more?
Me too.
I believe in Shalina.
I
believe she
it.
Will get it. Hi, Shalina.
Hi, how you doing?
We are good, thank you.
I don't want to say there's a lot of pressure on you, but we're depressed the rest of the day if you don't get this one, okay?
I probably would be too.
Okay. All right. Here's your song. One more time.
Can you play it one more time?
I can't. I'm sorry. I'm going to play it twice.
You want to take a guess if you don't know? At least try.
Is it Man Overboard?
It is not. I'm sorry, it's Josie.
Way to go, Allie. Nice job taking Shalina's
ball. I believed in her, and I still believe
See,
in you,
we
Shalina.
Al, Janelle, Casey, Peter, and Matt all are in the drawing. One will win tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016 a week from Saturday, December 10th at the Forum, featuring their favorite band, Blink-182. Only one will win. Miss Allie McKay, who is it?
It is Peter.
Peter!
Peter!
Congratulations, Peter.
Are you serious? That is amazing.
You got tickets for night one and the Bud Light backstage passes.
I can't believe I got through, let alone win the contest. Thank you guys so much.
You
that is
did.
Awesome.
Enjoy the show. We'll see you there. Thanks for playing the game.
Just a second! Have we figured out a way to cancel what's happening next hour yet, Allie? Have we come up with a reason?
There's no way. There's no reason.
A way we can stop that from happening?
It's a Christmas miracle.
It is neither of those things, Christmassy or miracle-y. It is awful.
We have something to do here, though. We can't really spend
something
time
Something very bad or very good, depending on who you are, happens next hour here at K-Rock. First, though, something we can all agree on is awesome and one of the highlights of every week here on the Kevin Bean Show is our good friend Andrew Siciliano, Johnny Football himself, Johnny Red Zone. From DirecTV on Sundays and host of Up to the Minute on the NFL Network Monday through Friday at 1. How are you, sir?
Hey, everybody.
I can't believe you've done that show 200 times.
We will. Next week will be 200.
That's crazy.
199 was yesterday. Yeah, I never saw that coming. That's absurd, to be honest with you. But
you knew it was a good idea. You knew it was a good idea when it started. Was the concern that you just weren't going to be able to find an audience for it?
Honestly, I don't know that we knew it was a good idea. It was something that we were trying. It was something that had been done. I mean, the backstory, not to bore anybody, with Italian soccer, Serie A soccer, and David Hill and Eric Shanks at Fox, and then at DirecTV at the time, both about the same. They decided, let's try for the NFL. But our first year, we didn't even have the CBS games live. We could only show the Fox games live because CBS hadn't signed off on the concept yet until year two.
Oh.
So, I mean, we couldn't even show every game live. If you had told me right then and there that, you know, we're in standard def, no one knew we were on, we couldn't. We only show half the games live. It would be 200 shows. I probably would have laughed.
You're about to be the Tom Brady of Red Zone. How does that feel?
Yeah. How about that, Allie?
Yeah.
Yes, except without Giselle. Oh.
I mean, sure, there's that.
That took a turn.
Yes.
And his bank account.
Right, and the Uggs deal and all of that. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Facial Allie, region.
That was great. I, you know what, Allie, let me rewind that. Say it again.
You're about to be the Tom Brady of the Red Zone Channel.
Yeah, I am Tom Brady.
Okay,
much better. Well, listen, Andrew, we got a lot of a lot to unpack after this. For some of us, terrible, terrible weekend of NFL football.
Is the NFL still going on?
I'm afraid it is.
What?
It doesn't look like it in the NFC West, but it is. Well, but I want to start with, because this game ended too late for me last night. Was there controversy at the end of the Chiefs game last night? What went on? I saw a lot of online chatter about it.
There was no controversy. It was just one of those ones where you have a conundrum. You have a dilemma. And you're in overtime with, what, a minute and a half to go, 2 minutes, whatever it was. It's very little time left. And Gary Kubiak, the Broncos coach, faced a 4th-and-10 in a tie game. He's looking at an overtime tie, and he has a decision to make. Do I try to punt and pin the Chiefs down and give them very little time to go down the length of the field and, in essence, play for the tie? Or do I take my kicker out, put him on the field, and say, go try a 62-yard field goal, try to win the game, knowing that if I miss the 62-yard field goal, which logic tells you is likely, then I give the Chiefs a very short field to now get into position to kick their own field goal.
Right. That's a tough decision to make.
Right. And look, playoffs hanging in the balance. If they take the tie, they stay, as it stands right now this morning, in a wild card spot. If they lose, they fall out of a wild card spot, and they're also trying to keep pace with the Raiders, who had won earlier today. So the Broncos decide, Gary Kubiak decides to kick. He misses it, and then, of course, the Chiefs march down the field, get in position, line up for the game-winning kick. The game-winning kick hit the left upright so hard your TV shook, but it still went in.
I saw pictures from the end of the game where it looked like half the people on the field didn't know whether to celebrate or not because they had no idea whether it counted.
There's a ridiculous picture tweeted by the kicker who's got a great story. His name is Cairo Santos. He's the only Brazilian player in the league.
He had his phone out there?
Florida. What's
that? He had his phone with him while he was kicking.
Right. He took the photo. He took a selfie. He came to Florida in high school, played soccer, and never kicked a football, learned, and then whatever. He's in the NFL. Anyway, he tweeted a photo afterwards of him with his hands up celebrating and his holder down on one knee holding his helmet head down thinking they missed.
Oh, really?
So he's celebrating, and the holder is holding his head like, oh, God.
That's funny. All right, moving on. Let's talk Rams for a minute. Goff watch. Great first half. Disappeared in the second half. A terrible day overall for the Rams, though, right?
Terrible day, and the defense couldn't stop anybody. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Jared Goff made his plays. He also made his mistakes. He lost his pocket awareness, football term, and fumbled, and that led immediately to a Saints touchdown. So they're the bad. He also threw a bad pick to Kenny Vaccaro, double covered. That's the bad. He also threw that first touchdown to Tavon Austin where you go, holy whatever. That is exactly the reason why he was the first.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
That was ridiculous. But listen, Greg Williams came back. That's the Rams defensive coordinator who had to sit out a whole year a couple of years ago as part of the Pouty scandal. He came back to New Orleans, and Sean Payton ran it up on him. Sean Payton was angry at him, still is, has a grudge, and ran it up on him.
555 yards given up, by the way, and 49 points.
The Saints can do that against anybody. Look at their offensive numbers coming in. I don't care what their record says. They can drop 50 points and 500 yards on anybody, and they have, and they will keep on doing that. But the fact that Sean Payton, up three touchdowns in the fourth quarter, 42-21, is calling trick plays with wide receivers throwing touchdown passes, that tells you everything.
Okay. Raiders, every week we get you on the air and we go, it's they're for real, right? What did you tell us yesterday on the TV? This is their first winning season now since 2002, right?
Right, since John Gruden whooped their butt in the Super Bowl in San Diego. So you want perspective? When they last had a winning season, Red Zone was like 2 years away from launching.
Wow. Dolphins, so, for real now?
For reals. The Raiders have not had a winning season since we've been on the air.
Wow.
They do now, and they did yesterday when Derek Carr, like his finger was going sideways. He's screaming, and he runs the locker room, and they shove that thing back in there somehow.
Yeah, that did not look good.
Yeah.
That did not look good.
He came out wearing the Star Wars black glove, and the transformation to the dark side was almost complete. He led the victory.
I do feel
like the hate flow through him.
That's right. I do feel like every Monday, the constants this whole season seem to me like the Dolphins win, the Raiders win, and the Cowboys win. That seems to be the world we're living in right now.
Well, the Cowboys at least won on a Thursday for you. Look, the Dolphins are in. You know this, right? Like if the playoffs started today, which they don't, but if they did, the Dolphins are in the playoffs, and the Broncos are out.
How about that?
That feels
Chip,
good.
How are you feeling about that, girl?
So good.
All right, having said that.
It feels good for Chip.
Go ahead.
But I'm still worried now because they still have to win, you know, in December, and the Dolphins have been comically bad in December. You tell them, win two games, and you guys are in. But they always fall on their face when you tell them that. So,
it's your year, Chip. I feel it.
In December.
All right, so answer this. Cowboys, Raiders, Dolphins. Who's going to actually keep it up and make it into the playoffs and do well?
I would say the Cowboys and the Raiders. I have less faith in the Dolphins, lo siento mucho, ship. But I would say this. You want the crazy scenario here. Just throw this out there. The Cowboys have a short – they play Thursday again. They play the Vikings, right? So let's say the Cowboys lose – to the Vikings, which is not out of the realm of possibility at all.
Right.
If the Cowboys were to lose to the Vikings, remember, the Cowboys' only loss came week one to the Giants. That would put the Cowboys at two losses. The Giants currently at three. Now, the Giants I don't think are any good, but they're 8-3. If the Cowboys lose Thursday, that means the Giants would control their own, I don't say destiny, that's a bad, that's horrible. I'll say their own destination. The Giants could win out and win the division.
Wow.
And be the number one seed in the NFC.
That is surprising.
If the Cowboys were to lose, because that means by winning out, they would also beat the Cowboys again down the road and thus sweep them.
Okay, interesting. I mean, yeah, it does make sense. But, I mean, we're also at early enough in the season that there are 5,000 different ways the divisions could end up between now and the end of the season,
except
right?
We're not. This is the end of week 12 tonight. Think about that.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely keep an eye on that. Great work yesterday, although Dave pointed out that you did prove you were human by actually coughing on the air for the first time in a long time.
I did cough on the air. I was coughing because...
That made me laugh.
Yeah, it made me laugh, too.
Because it was a complete surprise. It was a complete surprise to you, most importantly.
It was. I was coughing because I couldn't believe the Patriots were about to lose to the Jets.
But they didn't.
All right. DirecTV's Red Zone channel. Not too late to get in on that action. And, of course, up to the men on the NFL Network today at 1 every weekday. Andrew Siciliano, we love you, brother. Thanks for coming on.
Likewise. See you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5 minutes to late.
Kevin, we'll pretend this didn't happen, Ralph, but you heard him go on the air and demand that all of our listeners start letting their gas tanks run to empty.
Absolutely.
Right? He went on, he said, that's the only way to live.
He said some sort of protest against foreign oil. Wasn't that it?
I think that was what it came from.
I don't remember any of that.
Let your gas tank completely run out, go beyond zero before you fill up again, is what he told
people. We'll teach you, man. Don't buy gas on Wednesday or something.
I didn't say that.
It's like we're all going to join a boycott,
I think.
Well,
something like that.
People have been listening to Kevin because he is their leader in the Zero Club. And we got a very disturbing video last week about a woman out on the highway with a bunch of kids in her car, and they are all mm-hmm. cheering and chanting. They couldn't be more excited to see the perilous situation that their car was put in mm-hmm. as a result of almost running out of gas. And we've managed to contact her, and we're going to talk to her on the air about her indoctrinating her children into the Zero Club coming up right after the top of the
you
hour.
You dick.
Right. A little Zero Club, a little more goddamn radio show,
right,
Kevin.
Good Lord.
Alan's mic has been off for 4 minutes. She's been trying to talk. You're like, Zero Club. You're looking up in the sky. What the hell's wrong with you?
Bean paid me.
Oh. Bean had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, that happened.
Allie's is not the mic I'd be turning off if I were playing.
Oh, snap. Oh. Hey, that could be any of us. I don't even know what that means.
I'm right not sure either who he's taking a swipe at.
First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning. What's going on?
It is a Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Let's start with Moana. Moana, Moana, Mo Problems, right?
Nope.
No.
No?
Uh-uh.
No.
Negative.
$81.1 million. That's what Moana pulled in. Boy, kids love
the Disney.
Yes, but also the indigenous people of the archipelagos.
Yeah, said
right?
it for years.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Archipelagos. It would have been so much funny if I got the word right.
I wasn't going to say it.
$81 million. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Second at the box office. Doctor Strange, Allied, debuted with $18 million at number four. Arrival was number five. Trolls came in at number six. Almost Christmas, Bad Santa 2 debuted with $9 million. Hacksaw Ridge and The Edge of 17 were your top 10 movies at the box office. Sad news on Thanksgiving when we heard of the passing of America's TV mom, Florence Henderson. Of course, she was Carol Brady, leader of the Brady Bunch, along with her husband, Mike. Mike.
Right.
Like he was an architect. He was running drugs or something. He had some sort of illicit operation
going. Why would you
going.
Say that?
Because of the money, that the big house they had. And he never
but
seemed
they
to really
six
work.
Children.
Never
and
really
Alice
seemed to have work.
And Tiger.
How did he pay Alice's salary on an architect's?
Yeah, he wasn't. He was always there. He was never working.
Never working. And he had that one office. He just had like a blank drawing table. There
yeah,
was like
true.
Never anything on it until he pulled out the thing. Oh, do we have to go to the amusement park?
Oh, that was the best plans. One, right? And they lost it on the ride. And then,
shady.
Oh, what's going to happen?
It was shady.
And he could afford Hawaiian vacations. Let's not forget that.
Let's not.
And that little tiki doll, right?
And
who's with
I
me?
Think Carol was getting a little something from Sam the Butcher or something. She
what?
Seemed, she didn't seem happy.
She was getting her meat from
really?
Her.
She wasn't happy.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, she passed away at the age of 82. And, of course, she's beloved because we all grew up watching the Brady Bunch. So that was sad news. And also sad news is... the fact that Anthony Michael Hall's going to jail. What's up with this dude?
He is?
Yeah, what is
he's
up with this dude?
Issues.
He's got issues.
He got too jacked, right?
Yeah, he's got criminal charges now. He had a string of problems with his neighbor there in Playa del Rey where he lived, shoving him to the ground during an ugly disagreement last September. And this guy wound up with a broken wrist and back injuries. So now Anthony Michael Hall is slapped with felony battery charges with serious bodily injury and could spend 7 years in prison if he's convicted.
Ooh. Wow.
Gives a whole new meaning to Breakfast Club when you're in prison. You know what I'm saying? This is the Breakfast Club you're getting.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I never want to see that hand yes. motion. I don't want to see right. that facial
just
expression.
Saying, it takes on
right.
a whole new meaning.
Right.
It's a different meaning.
Move on.
That was huge, too.
Right?
That was
that's
really
the Breakfast Club.
That
that's what
something.
I'm saying. You should see the size of his cellmate. Right?
Right.
Just saying.
What are you saying?
Big, big guy. That guy is. And please, Elton John will not be performing at President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration.
I
please,
saw it on the internet.
Please stop it. Now, someone on Trump's transition crew made that claim. But Elton's publicist, Fran Curtis, said, incorrect, in capital letters.
Wrong.
Then a Trump staff member claimed that because Trump was the first U.S. president with a pro-gay rights stance, Elton was booked to perform a concert on the Mall. And Elton said again, no, I'm not.
Stop saying that.
Then someone asked Elton John if his show was syndicated. that one time. And he said, no! So people kept pestering Elton John with this question. It was really annoying him.
It didn't make any sense when I first saw it.
And it's not true. That's
yeah,
why.
I don't see Elton John and Donald Trump hanging out together. Wasn't he all in on HRC?
He was. He's down with HRC.
Sure.
Oh, geez. You know me.
No.
He said.
Stop it.
Vince Neil from Motley Crue claimed he was invited to perform at the inauguration.
Okay.
Okay.
And then he was told, no, you're not. You're not welcome at the inauguration.
Wrong.
So it's very confusing, but so far the only two people we know for sure will be there are Ted Nugent and Kid Rock. So you
I mean, look,
do you need anyone
right,
else?
Right
at that point,
that's a complete show right
that's
there.
That's what I'm saying.
And Chachi, he'll do something, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to perform.
No, probably.
What
not.
Would he do?
I felt like he was in a band
he
on
was.
Joni
he
Loves Chachi.
He was. He made record albums.
Yeah.
The whole deal.
Yep.
He made record albums.
Did he make record
indeed.
Albums?
He did.
The round ones that go on the turntable?
Yes, he did. I don't think he's been doing much singing lately.
No.
But
he made 45 RPM records as well.
I'm worried about whoever's putting together this inaugural transition team. It just doesn't seem
you're
like
just worried about
it. Are you worried about
just the transition? That's your only concern?
Once we get on the rails, we'll be fine. Everything else will be good. Just the transition seems
shaky,
bumpy. Today's celebrity birthdays: Karen Gillan. Oh, come on with her.
Didn't we have her in last year, Rob?
We did.
And she was delightful,
just charming, and all kinds of Scottish and ginger and peachy.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's 29 years old today. Mary Elizabeth Winstead is 32 years old. Trey Songz celebrates 32 years. Apple de app. Apple de app. I'm just going to keep saying Apple de app because it's so much fun to say. From the Black Eyed Peas is 42 today.
Does he have his own app, by the way?
Put it in the file.
Well, it would be an Apple de app.
Yeah, we understood it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Black Eyed Peas make record albums. Pearl Jam drummer Matt Cameron's 54 years old today, as is TV show host par excellence. We miss him, Jon Stewart. Don't we miss him? Daily
yes.
Show's good. That guy's doing he's working hard.
Trevor Noah doing good.
But Jon Stewart, right? Agreed. Judd Nelson's 57.
Still would.
You'd still Judd Nelson?
Yeah, for sure.
Really?
Just those nostrils. Yeah.
What are you
day.
Doing with nostrils?
I don't know.
What kind of sex
just
life do you have where big nostrils come in handy?
Stare into that face with
the
those
hell?
Nostrils. Ugh. He's good.
What are you, pegging his nose?
A little bit.
Ed Harris is 66 and singer-songwriter legend. I love L.A. Randy Newman is 73 years old today. We got to play a little of that sometime
we
today,
should.
Don't we?
Mm-hmm. We should get that.
That would be appropriate.
It's a great tip.
Since that is song and
it's 8 o'clock.
It's very appropriate.
This is when we're thinking.
We'll get on it.
Well, we all live and work here in Los Angeles for the most of us, for
right.
the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And it would seem to be an appropriate song since that's probably his best and biggest hit.
Agreed.
Okay then.
Yeah, it's a great choice.
Okay, we'll get to work on that. We'll get the team working on that. They're gonna effort to get that on the air and we'll see what we can do.
See what we can do.
I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
I feel like it's almost time for an intervention, don't you, Allie, with Kevin and his minions?
It's concerning now.
It is starting to
yeah.
get to the point now where, and we'll yeah. find out when we talk to Evelyn here in a second, that Kevin and his evil plan to have everybody run out of gas in Southern California is coming true now.
See, Bean, you don't understand anything about the Zero Club. Because it's
mean?
Not about running out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
It's about driving on empty.
Right, uh-huh. But isn't that a...
But if you run out of gas, you're not in a club. That's a fail.
Oh, you're booted?
Yeah.
Oh.
You're just a big loser
right.
if you run out of gas?
It's okay. How far can you drive when it says 0 miles to empty?
Okay.
That's the key.
For folks who don't know what the Zero Club is, let me play this piece of tape from Stephen Colbert from his show recently,
yes,
where he, I think, summed it up in just a few brilliant words.
Real Americans believe that low gas light on your dashboard is not a warning but a challenge to see how far we can get on whatever amount of gas is left in the goddamn tank.
Right? So that's what it is, Kevin. It's a challenge. It's a way to dig deep in yourself.
Here's how it started. It started with me taking a picture of zero miles to destination and putting it on Twitter and then Bean seeing it and thinking, that's a terrible way to live a life.
It is a terrible way to live a life.
And so he brought it up on the air and started making fun of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured it was just like any number of other things where I do something dumb, people yell at me, I take the beating because I deserve it, and we move on.
Sure.
all of a sudden, everybody started saying, "That's what I do. That's what I do. Hey, yeah. that's what I do." Starting
heard
with
from
Ralph,
we heard from producer Christine.
Yep.
Concerning.
How do other people run their lives like this? That's my question.
I don't know, but let's hear the new theme song before we talk to Evelyn. It's time to talk Zero Club, ladies and gentlemen.
This is Zero Club. Yeah, I'm so thug because I'm driving on E and I feel like I'm on drugs because this is my thug life. This is what I love. So don't fill it up because we are so thug. This is Zero Club. Kev Dog!
So no. Kevin B. Lister, Evelyn, God bless her. She tweets at us last week, joined the Zero Club with a car full of kids. Tweets it to Kevin, hashtag thug life, hashtag this is no way to live your life. And Evelyn joins us on K-Rock right now. Hello there.
Hi, Evelyn.
Good morning, guys.
She attends this video. How many kids were in the car with you at the time, Evelyn?
3 8-year-olds and a 17-year-old.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Right? Okay, so this is the audio from the video that she tweeted as one of them has a video camera on the odometer or whatever it is, and it turns from 1 to 0, and as soon as it turns to 0...
What's it, a gas station?
What did it say?
So you can tell there's a kid at the end that has no idea why she's chanting Zero Club.
So, Evelyn, how did you explain this to the children in the car? I'm fascinated to hear your story.
Well, I told them when that number goes to 0, you're going to have to get out of the car and push it to the side.
Wait, Bean said, how did you sell it? That seems like the way that you would tell them not to do it.
It sounded fun to 8-year-olds.
Okay. A little adventure for the 8-year-olds. So, in other words, for an 8-year-old, if you run out of gas, that's just exciting.
It was very exciting for them.
For an 8-year-old and for me.
I was going to say, right. What's the correlation?
Now, but here's
like
the...
to live on the edge.
Here's the weird thing, though, is that, you know, we started the Zero Club. We started sending out T-shirts. People are sending in pictures all the time. I'm starting to get, like, stressed. Like,
are you?
Saturday when it was really raining hard and some guy sent me a Zero Club, I was like, no, maybe not today. And Evelyn's got kids in the car? I'm like, no. What's happening?
You started this movement.
Right,
you now can't put limits on it.
But I'm saying maybe use common sense. I don't want anyone to get hurt.
So, Evelyn, how far after you took that video, how far did you then drive before you stopped and got gas?
About half a block. I was circling the gas station.
Oh, okay. So circling. All right, good. See, that makes me happy because at least the only 8-year-olds would only have to push a couple of blocks.
Yeah.
But I mean,
it got pretty scary when it got down to 10 miles because it started going down really fast after 10 miles to empty.
Yeah, occasionally it'll jump from 10 to 7 and you go, no, wait a minute. This isn't right.
And by the way, one of the things that we've learned since we've been talking about the Zero Club is that every car is different.
Yep.
Some cars you get 10 miles past zero. Some cars you get 80. I mean, it's hard to know what you're going to do until you get there.
I'd like to suggest that you don't try to get 80.
Yeah, that's fair.
Kevin, was the guy that tweeted you about being in the rain, was he the guy who was driving back from Las Vegas over the holidays?
That was a different guy.
That was a different guy. Because this guy's out, presumably, you know how few and far between gas stations can be on that trip.
I mean, you could be miles.
You could be 50 miles from a gas station.
But here's the thing. Miles to destination, mm-hmm. 0 miles per hour. Because he was completely at a stop on the 15 coming back from Las Vegas. Yeah. So he was fine, right?
No.
Yeah, because he wasn't moving, so he wasn't really chewing up much gas.
I don't think that's how it works, Kevin.
That's how I looked at it.
So, Evelyn, now that you're in the Zero Club, are you done with the thrill of that? Or are you going to continue living your life that way? Or do you feel like, hey, now that I've made it, it's like running a marathon, I don't ever have to do it again?
I don't think I'm ever going to do it again. I was too stressed out.
I got to tell you, it is really funny to get people's responses to. I tried it.
Uh-huh.
I was way too nervous. It's not for
me.
And they'll admit it. They'll just go, okay, that's fine.
So, yeah, that's it for me.
Okay. Well,
all right.
At least you got in the club.
Yeah.
But I don't have to send shirts to the little 8-year-olds, right?
Oh, no. They're waiting for the bongs you promised them.
I never did write back when he would send the kids some bongs.
I did. I need to order some Zero Club bongs.
And that's no way to live.
That's for sure. Evelyn, we love you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for getting in touch with us, okay?
Thank you, guys. Love you, too.
Bye now.
This is Zero Club.
I'm all excited, brother.
Just hold on.
Nope.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:25.
By the way, speaking of great guests, not the guy that you're talking about, Brandon Flowers from The Killers on the show later this week.
How about that?
And the very funny and talented actor who plays Eugene on The Walking Dead and his mullet are going to be joining us in studio. That's tomorrow, right here on K-Rock as well. First, though, I was very surprised to see this article. You know, every year about this time, you start hearing about the toys that you shouldn't buy for your kids because they're dangerous. And first of all, I'm surprised that those toys ever make it to the shelves. Like, shouldn't there be somebody ahead of them being shipped to Toys R Us that says, hey, don't sell that? It's dangerous?
Yes, and we say that each year.
Yes.
Every single year we say, isn't there a group maybe that looks it over and thinks about the danger factor?
Before they get into customers' hands, I would think so too. But here's a news story. I think we've got some audio that really, really surprised me. When you hear about these toy recalls because a toy turns out to be dangerous because it has small parts or catches on fire or something like that, don't you just automatically assume that those recalls are taken seriously and those toys almost immediately leave the shelf?
Yeah, of course.
I would hope so, right? Listen to this.
As you get ready for holiday shopping, we're learning toys recalled for lead, batteries, or other hazards are still available for sale in online stores. And since last year, there have been more than 40 toy recalls. Out of the toys recalled, nearly half are still available to purchase online. Things like bean bags, toys with sharp edges, magnets, even with lead paint are still being sold. According to the World Against Toys Causing Harm, every 3 minutes, a child goes to the emergency room with a toy-related injury.
That is a shocking statistic.
Every three minutes.
Yeah, that kid must really be exhausted by the end of the day, I would think.
I don't think it's the same
kid.
That's
a lot of trips, is what I'm saying.
It's all different kids.
Well, we wanted to find out more. We asked Dave, our producer, if there's anyone we could talk to. Clark Mannheim joins us now from an organization. I'm sorry, Mr. Mannheim. We appreciate you joining us, but I'm unfamiliar with your group. It's BITCH, it looks like?
That's right. We're a better intervention against toys and children's health.
I see. Okay. Sure. Well, now, does this surprise you to hear that news report that
that's bitch, by the way, for people who didn't put the letters together.
Right. Well, I said it like that because it's spelled out with the, you know, with the
it's called a period,
exactly,
Dean.
Is it spelled out? With a period after
it's called a period.
Yes. Yeah. B period, I period, right. D, like that.
That'd be called an initialism.
That's it, right. Yeah. All right. So when toys get recalled, they should be pulled off the shelves, right?
It would be. That should be the case, but
I would think so.
Sadly, that is not the case, and that's why we try to educate the consumers, the people who are actually buying the toys, and let parents know that many of these toys are dangerous to your children and should not be purchased, even if they do find them available online. It's the responsibility of the parent to make a smart choice when shopping for toys this Christmas.
Thank God Bitch is there, right?
That's what I feel. I mean, we wanted to be called Watch, but there was already a Watch. So we had to change our name and ended up with Bitch. We're working on it.
Well, I mean, the news report mentioned the beanbag chair, and that has a lot of little parts in it where kids can, swallow the beanbags or something? That would make it dangerous?
It'd be hard to swallow a beanbag chair.
I mean, if they could really go for it, though.
How do you swallow the beanbag chair? I mean, chair is rather large, and there's no real choking or swallowing hazard with the beanbag chair. That is not the reason it has been labeled a dangerous toy.
No,
it's because it contains a zipper that can be opened up, and a small child can crawl inside the beanbag chair and suffocate therein.
And swallow it from the inside.
Nope, there's no swallowing.
I see.
No swallowing, no choking with a beanbag chair, which is roughly 4 feet by 4 feet, made of polyurethane vinyl,
right,
and, containing many, many, many small pellets inside of it.
So they're not dangerous.
It's impossible for any human being to get something of that size in their mouth.
So you're saying they're not dangerous.
No, it is dangerous.
It is dangerous.
Not for the reason that you initially said.
I see.
All right. Well, what other sorts of things should parents be looking for, or more importantly, staying away from as they holiday shop this year?
Well, just because a toy is connected up with a famous person or a popular TV show does not automatically make it safe.
You need to do
your investigation. Like the Duck Dynasty Baby Redneck Still. That is not a safe toy. It's a toy that encourages children to make moonshine out of candy corn.
That's no good.
It involves copper piping and a Bunsen burner and a large kettle that you boil down the candy corn and you make actual alcoholic beverages. And so we suggest people stay away from the redneck still.
That should be illegal as well as dangerous. Yeah.
Right.
the Kanye West Little Yeezy Exhaustion Playset. That is found to be dangerous because of the straitjacket that it comes with. It's a little tiny straitjacket, and it really, once you get in there, it's hard to get out because it's a straitjacket.
Right, sure.
And kids are eating those?
Nope. No, just putting them on and finding themselves trapped inside.
Getting stuck. Okay.
Games, just because something has a catchy theme song or you see a commercial for it, does not necessarily make it safe for your children. The new Milton Bradley game, Don't Catch the Zika. That is that's not a game that's safe for kids. I love that theme. Don't catch the Zika. I love that theme in that commercial. But
right.
It really is nothing more than a jar full of mosquitoes, and you stick your arm in there, and just, you take your chances, really.
That's a terrible game.
It is if you get the wrong mosquito, that's right. For sure. Anything with a political bent this year, there's a lot of public unrest and discord between the two sides of America in a very split country, and no need to inflict that on your children. So I would recommend don't purchase the El Lego Build a Mexican Wall set, where you build a small wall out of Legos around a model of the country of Mexico.
I see.
There's no point for that.
Yeah, that's probably.
Although I have heard if you keep the receipt, you can send it to Mexico and they will pay for it.
Is that right?
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
With that in mind, also stay away from the Little Trump My First Tweet Play cell phone.
Mm.
This is a little toy cell phone that if you press the button, it'll send out tweets like Donald Trump would. And you press the button, and he's actually recorded his voice. I think we have here's one here.
Okay. I grab it by the...
Wow. Not for kids.
You don't want them to hear this one?
This election is rigged.
Yeah, they don't need to be
Subjected
to that or this one.
I like Nazis.
Yeah, you don't want the kids playing with that.
I'm not sure he ever said that.
It's completely inappropriate. Also, for the kids, don't purchase Johnny Coffin.
Johnny Coffin?
Johnny Coffin?
Don't get that thing.
How did that ever get put out?
That's what I say. It's hard to believe that's on the shelves, but you can't pick it up at major retailers. It's
for kids?
Yeah. Just a small plywood box with a latch on it that once they crawl it, and it automatically locks behind them. And that's that doesn't seem right.
It very doesn't dangerous. Seem right.
No. So don't buy Johnny Coffin.
Why Johnny, I wonder?
I don't know. I guess it's... It could be Bobby Coffin or Tommy Coffin, I guess, whatever, but they picked Johnny.
Clark didn't come up with it.
You can't swallow that either, by the way, the plywood box, just as long as we're keeping a tally.
I was concerned.
Yeah. And don't buy the new Ride 'Em car. This is a battery-operated car for kids called the Junior Zero Club. It's a battery that only charges half the way, and once you get away from home, it goes right to zero, and your child has ended up abandoned somewhere in the neighborhood, and they have to push the car
home. That's a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea, right. And I don't know who thought of the Zero Club.
Right.
They should be kicked in the balls.
Seems harsh. You guys just don't know good radio. That's the problem with you. Bean doesn't know good radio, and Allie doesn't know good radio.
I don't.
Kevin, haven't we already established today you, the king of the Zero Club, have a lot of bad ideas?
Of course, but this isn't one of them.
Why is this not one of them? Why is this not Exhibit A in Kevin's bad idea file?
This might be the greatest thing ever.
All right. We held it off as long as we could. It's been months and months since last time we welcomed this next guest to the Kevin Devine Show. Let's say hello to Sam, the Armenian comedian, who joins us on K-Rock right now. Hey, Sam.
How are you?
How are you, sir?
Good. I'm very good. Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. I got fired up many jokes for you.
You have many jokes for us.
Holiday jokes. That's exciting.
Let's start the call off with a good holiday joke. I think that'll lay a good foundation.
Okay, so what happened is how the Thanksgiving started. Because of I'm Armenian, I'm going to tell Colombo's days. Captain says to the Indian chiefs, could you get me a Turkish girl for my din-din tonight? And I gave you 24 hours. So the Indian chief got mad and sending a smoke signal. And with three assistant Indian chiefs with a turkey, here's a turkey. Stop this one, turkey.
How you feeling about vouching for Sam this time?
I don't know, but Allie was flipping me off during the entire joke.
Sam, what's going on with your show business career? I thought you had a plan. You were going to make it. You were going to have a TV show and a movie and everything, right?
Oh, yeah, because you guys are going to help me.
Sam, I feel like we've done more for you than anyone on the planet.
Not really. Not as much as System of the Down.
Not what? So much. Oh, you think that we have put System of a Down on a level above you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Below,
I feel like I'm acceptable
with that. I'm freaking mad. I want to tour every tunnel towers all the way to Scotland, Norway, to Armenia, and Ethiopia, Addis Ababa. I want to go and do concerts in front of colleges. I'm freaking mad. In front of the protesters. You guys going to take me chauffeurs and truck, bus loads of groups, and we're going to do concerts all over. I'm going to open up for the Food Fighters.
The Food Fighters? Sam, we're not stopping you from going to all of these places.
No, you're not stopping me. You're not helping me. Nothing.
How are we not helping you?
No, you're not helping me. You're just giving me, oh, yeah, I'll take you to Montana, take you to Christmas tree. Am I going to do that now this year, too?
Sure.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
That'll be the day if I see that for reality.
Wow, Sam's mad.
He is mad. But, Sam, look, who has done more for you in your career with your jokes and your music and everything else than Kevin and Bean? Honestly, name one person who's helped you more.
You sent me to jail, too.
Oh, we didn't send you to jail, Sam. You went to jail because you're such an idiot. He threatened this building and said there were bombs around it. And we said, Sam, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. And then he said, tick-tock, tick-tock, and the police heard it.
Listen, let's take everything.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm interrupting you.
You rethinking this, Kevin?
No, I love it.
Armenian comedian. What?
Listen, let's put everything on the side and go forward.
Okay.
Clean slate.
Go everywhere.
Okay, let's
clean slate.
Let's put that all behind
us. Should I act like Italiano for you? Come on. Mannaggia. Io parlo italiano molto bene. Spanish very good. And everything. I'm a barber and hairstylist, and I have a rock and roll band. And I have a second CD to record, and I want to use your recording studio. I want to jam your rock and roll studio this time.
You still listening? Is anyone still listening?
Sam.
Sam, we'll be here Christmas Eve.
Okay.
Glad everybody approves
can
now.
Can you just let it go?
I will accept
your
apologies now.
Your memories of what you think he brings to the show always get dashed every time he comes on the show.
When we were off the air, you were saying how much you liked him.
I was not. I wasn't even in this room. I just walked in.
I will accept your apologies now. Ralph?
What the hell's going on?
Allie?
Bizarro world. No.
Bean?
No.
Hell no.
All he does is complain anymore. He doesn't even do jokes or anything.
He did a joke. I didn't understand it, but he did it. Let's call him again just after the top of the hour.
Who's with just him? Let it go.
What that smart guy said is let it go.
It's not coming back. Whatever magic you think he once had, it's not coming back.
Magic once. It's continuous, my friend.
What's wrong with you?
I'm not sure.
No, I said what magic he once had. Doesn't mean he had it just once, Kevin. It means he had it in the past.
He still has it, is my point.
8:53, we apologize for what Kevin did to the show today.
All excited, brother.
All right. Thank you, Sam. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on?
It is a Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Moana debuted with $81.1 million over the five-day Thanksgiving weekend, making it number one by far. Although Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them was pretty close. $66 million additional dollars it made this weekend. Doctor Strange fell to number three with $18.8 million. Then Allied, the new Brad Pitt World War II spy thriller, came in with $18 million at number four. Arrival was fifth. Trolls, Almost Christmas. Bad Santa 2 came in at number eight as it debuted with $9 million. Hacksaw Ridge and The Edge of 17.
Maybe I'm not that funny, but I'm funny.
You had the first half right. Hey, you know what time it almost is?
The most wonderful time of
year?
Time
to get ill?
Christmas time! Christmas time. Yeah. Y'all been good?
Hi, Bruce.
Is Bruce Springsteen back?
No, it's not many. It's not many. You guys are in trouble out there. It is almost Christmas time. And every December, Billboard magazine lists the top-selling 100 holiday songs. Here's the top 10 selling holiday songs this week. The Holiday 100, they call it over there at Billboard Magazine. You want to take any guesses? What's being downloaded? What's being purchased? What's being bought? What's being iTunes?
I mean, you went into your Springsteen voice, so I'm guessing he's in it.
Not in the top 10.
Oh. That was a terrible voice to go into then.
Which means I'm going to burn this list down.
Fairy Tale of New York, The Pogues.
If Springsteen... Yeah, I just lost a piece of burrito there.
Wow.
If Springsteen isn't on the list...
Then the Pogues are.
The Pogues are in the top 10 best-selling Christmas songs this week.
Okay, so it's this week, not of all time.
You think that?
No.
Right. So then don't say it.
What about that Elvis one where he's all singing Christmassy? What's that one?
Christmas without you.
That one.
I'll be
right,
so
right. That song. Right.
Thinking about you.
Mm-hmm. Right, is that on the top 10?
Decorations of red.
All right.
On a green Christmas tree.
I think it's time to move on, maybe.
You won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me.
Somewhere Mark and Brian are wondering why they're not still in the air.
Elvis did not make the list of the top 10 best-selling Christmas songs this week.
Come on.
Ralph, I have been silent on this subject.
Because he's seen it.
The Holiday 100
is
my Bible. So in case you're wondering, it's not that I'm not participating. It's just that I wasn't
wondering.
Didn't ask.
He didn't say, hey, where's Bean in this conversation?
Well, usually you expect everyone to guess.
Blissfully enjoying the moment.
Have a guess. Okay.
That's now over.
I'm going to wait because I know that I have number one. So go ahead with the rest of the countdown. And then before number one, just give me a second.
Right, I'll tell you. Mary, Did You Know by Pentatonix. Pentatonix has a new Christmas song out on their new Christmas album. Mary, Did You Know?
It's a great song.
That you say, it's the worst Christmas song ever.
No, it's
there's
a
no
great
such
song.
Thing for Bean.
Oh,
I don't
it's a
like,
nightmare.
I don't like their version of it.
Any version of it blows.
Have you listened to the words
Mary,
of that
Did
song?
You know that your son was going to grow up to be cool Jesus?
I love that song.
Mary, Did You Know?
I don't think I've ever heard that song.
It's a musical question asking Mary if she knew how cool her son was going to grow up to be. I was going to save the planet and whatnot.
All right, now I'm in.
It's a
beautiful song.
It's the worst. Mary, did you know? Could you see a sign when he was a baby in the manger that he'd be turning water into wine?
Oh, it sounds awful.
It's the worst.
Sounds great.
Gene Autry's original Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer came in at number 9. That's a classic. You got to download that for the kids, right?
Sure.
Feliz Navidad.
That one surprises me that still sells so well.
Oh, because you
he just
hate
said
the brown
Gene Autry,
man.
For God's sake. Because
you hate the brown man. Is that what it is? Racist?
No, it just surprised me.
Last Christmas by Wham, number 7.
Oh, yeah.
Number 8, Holly Jolly Christmas by Burl Ives from the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer show. Have a holly jolly Christmas.
Okay.
White Christmas, no surprise there, by Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry, Bing Crosby. Bing Crosby, my bad. Jingle Bell Rock, Bobby Helms.
Huh.
Okay.
I hate that song.
Do you?
I hate it.
Bean, are there any Christmas songs that you hate?
Not. You answered your own question.
There are a lot of them. I'll tell you what the worst
The only one he hates is the one that has a human heart to it.
First of all, Christmas Shoes is horrible.
Where a little boy's mother is dying.
I wish the little boy had died,
too. That's where the little boy dies, right?
No, the mother dies, and the little boy's trying to buy one last Christmas present for his mother before he passes away.
Blah. Right. Blah. No, the worst Christmas song.
It's so touching.
Of all time.
Mary, did you know your kid was going to be cool Jesus? Right. That one he likes.
First of all, I need to hear some
of
that.
Are the lyrics really cool Jesus?
No, but it's something.
First of all, I need to hear that one tomorrow. And second of all, we need to have this conversation with Bean tomorrow as well.
Okay. Merry Christmas to you. The Christmas song, Nat King Cole, of course.
Okay.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Don't be starting on that one either. That freaking song. Oh.
What's wrong with that? What's your problem with little Brenda Lee?
Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Have a happy holiday. Bite it.
It's a great song. She was 13 when she recorded that, by the way.
What am I supposed to do?
I thought we were talking
what
about
What am I supposed
Christmas
to do
music?
With it? What do I do with that?
What do
that's
you do with that?
That's a fun fact.
No, that's not.
She's 13.
I don't care how old she was.
It's a great song.
Are you up to number one yet?
Yeah, I got number one. Number one. Kevin, number one. Your guest, number one.
Santa Claus, on the helicopter.
exactly.
Where's the mistletoe by Justin Bieber? I thought that was going to be in there.
What?
Is it?
Where's the Ariana Grande song? I thought that was in the top 10, too. The Santa Tell Me, that's not in the top 10 either?
No.
On your list?
I just watched
Love. It's not my list. It's Billboard Magazine's list of top 100 holiday songs.
I watched Love Actually over the weekend.
Did you?
Was it Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas
It was
year?
Indeed Ally McKay for the win.
She was 13 when she sang that.
Christmas she was. She was 31. She was wearing bell-bottom pants. She was drinking green tea in the studio when she recorded it. Anyway, there's your Christmas songs. There's your Christmas songs. Yeah, see? There's your Christmas songs. Take a look today, celebrity birthdays. Ed Harris is 66. Judd Nelson's 57. Jon Stewart turns 54. Apple the App from Black Eyed Peas is 42. Trey Songz is 32. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, also 32. Today, Karen Gillan, love her so much, is 29. And Randy Newman, songwriter, singer, has given you so much music you probably don't even know. All the Toy Story songs and Three Amigos, done a ton of work in movies and television. But he's probably still best known for this smash hit of his. Happy birthday, Randy Newman. To move to Louisiana. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations and thank you for listening to Sylvia Schuyler from Redondo Beach. You just won yourself tickets for night number one of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016 show a week from Saturday to see Blink-182, Kings of Leon, Jimmy Eat World, AFI, and so much more. Plus, we'll throw in some Bud Light backstage passes for you. Your chance to win coming up in less than 1 hour from right now on The Kevin and Bean Show.
I don't think they wanted you there is the point.
Oh, the restaurant?
No, I think they didn't want your business, or perhaps
that guy was
your
shaky
wife.
We talked to. Guy was shaky. Hey, what about this guy's request ahead of the final showbiz beat here on the Kevin Bean Show?
Okay, I know it's not Christmas time, but I just randomly got a craving for some fruitcake. Can you play some fruitcake?
Oh.
What you making? Fruitcake.
Are we getting dangerously close to fruitcake season? I don't know what the rules are on that. Is it a December 1st thing? Or?
I think it's day after Thanksgiving.
It's day after Thanksgiving, but we're talking about the song.
Yeah.
Actual fruitcake? No, never. Never,
well, fruitcake is great, and I ordered my fruitcake, my annual fruitcake from Collins Street Bakeries in Texas, like I always do. Ordered that over the weekend.
Don't. Really?
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh.
It's the best.
He loves it.
But this song,
he
too,
says,
right?
What you making? Fruitcake. What you baking? Fruitcake. Candy cherries, red dye number two. Green cherries? Green ones, too. It's fruitcake. Pecans or walnuts, citrus peel,
naming ingredients,
lots of stuff,
lots of stuff.
And
isn't this song over at lots of stuff?
Oh my God.
I mean, seriously, well, lots of stuff.
That doesn't help me if I'm in the kitchen waiting to make it, that's for sure.
Lots of stuff.
Sticks of butter, cinnamon, molasses, lots of dark rum.
All right.
Artificial color.
All right, bring it home.
Artificial flavor. If your family don't want it, give it to a neighbor. It's fruitcake.
Right?
It's fruitcake.
You know, we were talking about earworms recently.
What you making? Fruitcake.
I think this qualifies.
What you baking? Fruitcake. Candy cherries, red dye number two. Green cherries? Green ones too! It's fruitcake! Baking up fruitcake!
What if I were to tell you that we are less than halfway through, Bean?
I would be fine with that.
Less than halfway through.
Are you kidding me? I love it!
Hold on 1 second, please. Paging Ralph Garman.
How about a little less Christmas shoes, a little more fruitcake? Coast FM.
How'd that go?
Well, where you been?
Making fruitcake!
Ew.
The stuff they spray in your face?
What?
Oh no, you sillies.
Sillies.
It's a spice
yourself.
Yeah, you are. 2 hours or
more. It's a good description, Bean. Thank you. Wrap it in rum.
Yum, yum, yum. Fruitcake.
They're going for a different rhyme there.
Ralph just worried, just ruined that entire song with one motion.
Oh, come on. That's the Christmas spirit.
That was on you, man.
I'm just full of the Christmas spirit.
That sounds
so
good.
I let
some
go.
Is that what you were? Oh,
yep.
God.
Just bleeding off a little Christmas spirit.
How great does that song sound after all these months?
Is it even Fruitcake? It's better than, Mary, did you know that your kid was gonna grow up to be cool Jesus, saving all the lepers.
Not how it goes.
That's how it should
everybody
go.
Everybody safe when it hangs on the cross.
All right, we're gonna.
Mary, did you know?
We're gonna spend some time on terrible, terrible Christmas songs.
Good.
The opposite.
Put that
of
one on the top of the list
tomorrow. It's not as bad as Christmas Shoes, but we'll get into that tomorrow. First, though, we got time for one final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. Here's Ralph.
Mom's gonna meet Jesus,
right?
Mary, did you know that kid's buying shoes for his mom to meet your son? Crossover. Crossover song. Allie's tearing up now.
She is.
Talking about Christmas shoes.
Because
she has a heart.
Thank you.
She feels human emotion.
I feel too much.
That black gaping hole inside.
Excuse me?
Like some people have. All right. It's Monday morning. Top 10 movies at the box office. Hey, speaking of movies, before we get to that, got something cool I've been meaning to give away all morning. Didn't have time till now. A pair of passes to go see Office Christmas Party.
Yay!
How funny does this look?
What a cast.
What a cast.
What a cast.
What a cast.
Jennifer Aniston, Jason Bateman, Kate McKinnon, Olivia Munn.
Wow.
What a cast.
What a cast indeed. Funny, funny people. And this movie looks very funny as well.
You didn't mention T.J. Miller in that list of funny people, right?
T.J. Miller is in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Office Christmas Party. There's going to be a premiere at the Village Theater in Westwood on December 7th. Movies and theaters everywhere on the 9th, but you will see it early. Not only that, but it's going to be K-Rock's Ugly Christmas Party. Nope. K-Rock's... That's, I didn't mean to cast any dispersions on the people who work at K-Rock. K-Rock's Ugly Christmas Sweater Party.
Mm. Very different.
I say.
It'll happen on the red carpet at the premiere of Office Christmas Party. This is going to be a blast and a bash. It's going to be a blash. So if you'd like to go, why don't you call right now, 1-800-520-1067. This is the number to call. First five callers through at that number win tickets, a pair of passes to K-Rock's Ugly Christmas Sweater Party on the red carpet of the Office Christmas Party premiere. I'm assuming you get to go to the movie as well. You don't just have
nope, just on the red
just,
carpet.
You just get the party with people.
You sit there
sweaters,
with a sweater, yeah.
And then everyone else goes in, and you're like, hey,
enjoy that.
Can I see the movie? Let me know what you think when you get out. Call us right now. All right. Top 10 movies at the box office. Moana. $81 million. Made number one over the long Thanksgiving holiday weekend.
Wow.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, $66 million. Doctor Strange came in at number three. Allied, the new Brad Pitt film, $18 million. Made it number four. Arrival was fifth. Trolls at number six. Almost Christmas, seventh. Bad Santa 2 debuted to $9 million over the weekend. Made it number eight. Hacksaw Ridge and the Edge of 17. If someone is listening in the other room, can you bring in the story that's on my desk? I wanted to talk about that, but I don't have it here with me.
Bit of a mess today, Rob.
I'm a bit of a mess. It's Fast and Loose.
We just played 12 minutes of Fruitcake.
It's Fast and Loose stuff here.
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together here because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
Really? At this point now is when you want to instigate that policy? Sad news. Mrs. Brady passed away over the holiday weekend. Florence Henderson. Beloved by generations as the matriarch of the Brady Bunch. Passed away at the age of 82. She'd been hospitalized for heart failure. She appeared briefly in the season finale of ABC's Dancing with the Stars last Monday because her TV daughter, Maureen McCormick, was a contestant on the show this season.
And she looked fine, by the way.
Well, she was fine, Bean.
Next thing you know,
works. What's
dead.
Wrong with you?
Can we ask a cardiologist
honestly,
at some point on the show so Bean can understand
sick.
How heart works?
Bean, she could be fine 5 minutes before.
I don't
heart
like
disease
that.
Is
who
the
cares
number
if you
one
like that?
Killer of women, Bean.
Right, but how was she at the thing looking fine and then
it's
a
not
few
a
days
long
weeks.
Lingering affliction.
Open up a blog.
It's confounding to me.
It's not confounding.
It is.
It's just the way it works. Why?
She wasn't sick.
Oh, my Lord. It's not like the flu.
So 1 minute she's fine, the next minute she's dead.
How can this be such a hard concept for you to grasp?
I mean, I guess most things in life you see...
Bean, it's not called heart hints. It's a heart attack.
It jumps out at you. Like a ninja.
Well, it shouldn't.
Okay, well, it just does. What do you want us to do about it?
I feel like there's got to be a better
but
system.
It's not a secret,
it's not
is
a
what
system.
We're saying. There's no secret. It's not like they've been keeping this from you. This has been the case with heart attacks since there have been heart attacks.
I know, but it really was brought into sharp focus a few months ago when we lost the great Juan Gabriel when he did that concert at the Forum, and he couldn't have been more entertaining and more vivacious and vibrant and all other things.
He was vivacious?
Vivacious? and he just worked his little ass off dancing and singing for the peeps, and then he woke up the next morning dead. Like,
well,
how is he so healthy? Saturday night, Sunday, he's dead.
That's when it was brought into sharp focus for you that people have heart attacks.
Yeah,
that was the moment.
That was when I realized it's
have you
F-F
never
system.
Heard of heart attacks?
It's a bad system. It's no way to live. Is
I
what
do
I'm
like
saying.
The idea of heart hints, though. That is
it would be better. Let's start a GoFundMe
page. A heart
page
heads up.
For it the, would be better.
The heart,
a heart poke.
Heart hints disease.
Yes, thank you. Now we're getting somewhere. See,
Jeez,
finally,
I have a
progress.
Tickle in my heart. I should go get that checked up.
That would be so much better. Then just boom, out of nowhere, it drops you.
You know what would be better? No heart attacks. But that's not going to happen either.
I'm sad about Florence Henderson.
You are adorable.
Here's a new game show on CBS. This is a game show. Now, this is a game show.
The Wall.
No, forget her with The Wall. No. Oh, The Wall is built to change people's lives. All right, Hardwick, whatever. Drop a ball through some Kerplinko pegs. It's not a game. This is a game. CBS is just another new game. Hunted.
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 Oh, my gosh. No.
Yeah.
Vin, listen.
Contestants will try to flee a team of professional trackers using state-of-the-art methods along with traditional tactics to pursue and catch them.
Real bullets?
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Contestants will be paired up into 9 teams of 2. And try to remain as hidden as long as they can while professional trackers hunt them down from a command center.
I saw this on Discovery. And it was a Navy SEAL named Joel Lambert. And it was an amazing show. But I don't want to see just like Tom, Dick, or Harry running it around. I want to see a Navy SEAL getting out there. Oh, you're not going to catch me. I'm a Navy SEAL. That's good. This is dumb. Thank you.
Well, it's spoken.
I hate to tell you, I bet you're so wrong.
Okay. I mean,
you are adorable.
Thank you.
They have a 100,000 square mile grid in the southeastern United States. They release them, and then a $250,000 prize awaits those who can remain hidden for 28 days.
28 days? Come
That's a
on,
long
Ralph.
Show.
Yes.
Come on.
Well, they don't film it all, Bean. They'll probably edit it down into one-hour programs, I'm assuming.
Oh. I thought it was a live stream.
January 22nd, the network's coverage of the AFC Championship game will lead in for this, and then we'll get to see Hunted. It's like the Running Man. Remember Running Man?
No.
You can't find me because I'm running, and I'm in hidden so many places, I'm hard to find.
Who's hosting, Ralph? Does it say? Is this one also Hardwick?
It does not say, but probably Chris Hardwick. How great would that be? I want to be in the show. First
no,
thing you do. First
wouldn't.
Thing you do, you release it teams of two, right?
Right.
Kill my partner. It's the first thing I do.
Okay.
You can travel so much faster on your own.
Yeah, true.
Right? You don't want to be dragging him along.
Yeah, but isn't it good to have a person to drive while you sleep and vice versa, for instance?
No. He's going to rat me out in a minute. I know this bastard. He's no goddamn good.
You know him already.
Take him out.
You're not even on the show.
Bury him in a shallow grave. And all that money is mine. The whole 250K, mine. I'm not splitting it with him.
But are you on the show?
Douchebag.
Well, we know Ralph is good at hiding. We couldn't find him for the showbiz beat.
You're a card.
God, I must be dealt with.
He was pooping.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Karen Gillan. Know her from Doctor Who, of course.
Adorable.
Adorable.
She really is.
Did you watch a lot of Doctor Who, Bean?
I've seen some.
How many have you seen? How many did you guess? How many episodes of Doctor Who do you watch?
He's right.
Honestly,
about it.
12 probably. Over the years, over the last 10 years, I've probably seen it about a dozen times. I'll watch the Christmas episode this year.
Okay. Stop pretending to be human.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead's 32. Trey Song's also 32. Apple the App from Black Eyed Peas is 42 years old today. John Stewart's 54. Actor Judd Nelson's 57. Ed Harris is 66. And Randy Newman, singer-songwriter Randy Newman, the man who gave us this smash hit all those years ago that we still sing. You know why we still sing it?
How come?
Because we love L.A. Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. K-Rock's Almost Good to Christmas 2016. Tickets are sold out, but the helpful SoCal Helpful Honda dealers would like to get you in. To find out how, you can follow them on Twitter at Helpful Honda. Come on, Ralph. At Helpful Honda is their Twitter account, and use hashtag WinKRock.
What is it?
You heard me. Tomorrow morning at All-New Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph, you'll be very happy we have the creators of the Mighty Muffin Pounder Rangers on the program tomorrow.
I'm coming to work now.
We have bad Christmas songs, like we were talking about. We have What's Up with Florida. We have another member of The Walking Dead that will tell us nothing about the show.
Yeah, why do we keep talking to these people?
Josh McDermott, who plays Eugene. And we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas and Bud Light backstage passes tomorrow morning.